Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor.
Entertainment Weekly.
Ring of Honor.
ROH.
Max Radio. Ring of Honor. The best wrestling that I've ever seen.
Ring of Honor Wrestling.
Welcome to Ring of
Honor. Hey, this is Steve.
And this is Ryan.
And you're listening to episode 1 of Honor Nation Podcast for the week of March 30th, 2008. Steve and Ryan, you're recording the first episode of Honor Nation. The
first of many.
First of many to come.
That's right.
Yes, we have a little bit of a rundown of what we're going to do today, and we're starting off with a little sort of roundtable questionnaire sort of thing, just let you, the listeners, get to know us and us know each other, because we do not previously know each other. We know each other through the forums. So yeah, I got a couple questions here for us to do. My name is Steven Mason. I am 16 and I live in Michigan. So, yeah.
All right, and I am Ryan Capuano. Some of you may know me as the douchebag who does the ECW report on Dave Meltzer's lovely website, thewrestlingobserver.com. I am actually 21 years old, so a little bit older than Steve. I don't think that's going to be a problem, though. And I live in Providence, Rhode Island.
Cool. Next, I got down our current and future careers. Well, currently, I am a student. I'm a junior in high school, and I work at Kroger as a bagger, which is pretty classy.
Oh, yeah.
And in the future, I hope to work in the film industry or the graphic design industry, and I've actually been thinking a lot about combining both of them and being a technical arts director at a Christian church, as I'm a Christian, and that combines both graphic design and film editing and such.
Excellent. Well, you know, I'm actually going into the film industry, too. I'm a screenwriter slash director slash wannabe actor. I recently, you know, I'm taking a year off from film school because, you know, it's just way too expensive. Hopefully I can, you know, get a job somewhere out in Hollywood, you know, getting George Clooney his coffee or something, just to get to know the right people, hopefully get my foot in the door someday.
That's how it works.
You know, we'll just see how that goes, yeah.
Okay, I guess we should now give an overview of our wrestling in general fandom, and then our ROH fandom, and I've been hogging, so I'll let you go first.
All right, thanks, man. Well, you know, I've been a wrestler, wrestling fan since 4 years old. I went to my first WWE house show in 1990, Providence Civic Center. It was a couple days after Christmas. I don't remember much. I do remember Rick Martel was there. The Legion of Doom. That was an interesting thing because my dad always hated those guys because they wore the spike shoulder pads and he just thought they looked so punkish. Oh, God. The main event was Macho Man versus the Ultimate Warrior, which I'm sure wasn't a very good match, but I was 4 years old, so what the hell did I know? From there, it's just progressed. I've always been a wrestling fan, always tried to stick up for it and defend it as a legitimate form of storytelling, but, you know, thanks to Vincent Company, it's kind of hard to get it across as that to people who don't watch the show that often. Recently, I kind of got, I'd say like past 2 or 3 years, I've gotten tired with the WWE's style of wrestling. TNA was just starting to get big. I started watching Ring of Honor, NOAH, and, you know, old All Japan, New Japan stuff, and really, you know, just expanding my horizons. And now I'm really getting into a lot of the independent leagues. I think Ring of Honor is an absolute godsend. I went to my first show back on December 22nd of 2006. For those of you keeping count, that was International Challenge, which was headlined by a tag title match, Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal versus Sima and Shingo. And we're actually going to be doing a wrestler profile on Shingo later in the show. Steve will have that for us. And from there, I actually lived in Chicago for a year, so I actually got to go to Fifth Year Festival Chicago and Good Times, Great Memories, both of which absolutely incredible shows. And, you know, once I moved back to Rhode Island, I got to go to Cage Rage, Fight at the Roxbury, tons of others, and I'll be going to the Boston show next week. Steve, why don't you take over from here?
Okay, well, I had actually my wrestling story started when I was 6 years old in elementary school, which is 1997, so middle of the Attitude Era. I met a kid named Tim Myers, who remains my best friend to this day. I went over to his house. I never had any experience watching wrestling. Like, every little kid knew what it was, just in general or whatever. And my dad watched every once in a while, but he was never a fan or anything, so he'd always tell me stories, because he used to live in Detroit, and back, he used to go to the old big-time wrestling shows, and he loves the original Sheik, and Bobo Brazil, like that. He was into that, but he's not so much anymore. But I went over to my friend's house, and he'd always have wrestling toy figures, and they'd always have ECW on TV, because he had an older brother who's 25, 26 now, so he was a teenager back then, and he was a huge wrestling fan. His parents are both huge wrestling fans, and they're just a wrestling family in general. And my mom didn't really dig the wrestling. She was the kind of mom who was like, ah, it's violent. No. But I said, screw it, and I fell in love with wrestling. But I didn't have much access to it, except for when I was at his house for a few years there, until SmackDown started on UPN, because we had the cable TV in the living room and my parents' room, but we could never watch wrestling down there because we weren't allowed to. But we had a TV hooked up with old school bunny ears in my brother's room, and then who is a year younger than me. So when SmackDown came on, my friend told me about it, and we'd sneak up there, pretend we were asleep, watch SmackDown all night, and we'd always have to hold the bunny ears in weird positions to get the right network, but we did it. And then I watched that like that until 2001, 2002, and then my dad started coming up and watching with us. And then finally we just started watching downstairs, and we got to watch Raw every once in a while, but my mom had some show, like ER or something, that she was into back then, so we never got to watch Raw that much, but we always watched the Raw recap on SmackDown. So all my memories were really, like, my main prime wrestling period when I just started and I was really into it was right around the brand extension starting, 2003, 2002, 2004. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, those are my two favorites, because I've wrestled amateur for 9 years until I blew out my knee last December. But so I was big fans of Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar with their amateur backgrounds and stuff, and like that. But and then my first live event, my first and only live event, sadly, was a SmackDown on August 19th, the day before my birthday, 2004, where it was a great show. I remember that, at least. But main event was Angle and Big Show in a no DQ match where Angle jumped off the ring apron and did an air sabu, put the chair under his butt, and did a leg drop to Big Show on the announce table. And that was crazy awesome. And then after that, that was when I was 13. And then I started playing football with the same friend. And we talked a lot more then, because we used to go to different school districts, so we didn't talk as much. He told me about WrestleCrap.com. So I started going on there. For those of you who don't know, it's a website where they compile stupid things in wrestling and make fun of corny gimmicks and angles and everything. But they also had forums, which I started getting on and reading, mainly just the WWE at first, and then switched into the rest of wrestling, which is their like indies and TNA and everything. Read about something called Ring of Honor, and they talked about it was real good wrestling, and I had no idea what that meant at the time, because I never had any Japan or NWA or old school ECW, WCW experience. So, I remember I bought my first Ring of Honor DVDs, I bought The Era of Honor Begins, I bought Round Robin Challenge, and then Road to the Title, and I bought them from High Spots for some reason, because it was like $2 cheaper or something, but I was a poor little kid back then, so I didn't get to see a couple of the matches, because they all edited them out, but I thought it was amazing. I remember the first match, I just watched Era of Honor Begins all the way through. And I just sat there with my jaw dropped, even how crappy the Hit Squad and Christopher Street Connection are to us right now. It was amazing back then, just dumping each other on their head, and it was amazing to me. And then I started watching TNA when it came on Fox Sports Net. I was a big TNA fan for a while, and I was like Chris Sabin because, actually, Chris Sabin is from the same town as me. He is from Hell, which is right next to Pinckney, which is right next to Hamburg, and they're all really small towns in southeast Michigan. And coincidentally, I found out that my friend, Tim, who I had been speaking about earlier, his older brother was best friends with Chris Sabin, and they'd always go over to his house, and I've seen old tapes of them wrestling on his trampoline, and which is a pretty funny story. But, so yeah, and then after that, I just started watching more and more ROH, all I could get my hands on, until a couple years ago. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry, man, I was having mic problems.
Okay, that's all right. I've been talking all like right. A woman, but that's all right.
Yeah, no, I actually tried to interject a couple times, but no, I guess it didn't work out. All right, sorry to interrupt. I didn't know I was going to... This thing keeps on fucking up. You want to just keep going?
Yep, that's fine.
All right, sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine. I just started watching a lot of ROH, and then I finally found the ROH forums, which I then, of course... started posting on, and it's opened my eyes crazy. I've watched some Japan, Noah, Dragon Gate, stuff like that. Just tons of ROH. I have every DVD released in 2007, ROH DVD.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I've seen every 2007 ROH show. And
what was your favorite show?
My favorite show so far, plus I have select shows from years past. I got Final Battle 2006, Death Before Dishonor 4, Death Before Dishonor 3, a couple of them like that. I have a lot of the shows from 2002 because after I bought the first DVDs, I started collecting those. One of my favorite show is, I don't know, that's hard. What would you say?
I got to go with Good Times, Great Memories. I think I just have... a personal connection for that because I was there at the show. It was just so incredible. Obviously, what was my favorite match of the year? Briscoes versus the Murder City Machine Guns, oh. Shelley and Sabin.
Yeah, fucking insane.
Shingo versus Morishima, both excellent matches.
Yeah.
Solid undercard. Cole Cabana's last match before he went on to the soul-crushing WWE. Mm-hmm. So,
did you love hating on Daniels after that promo?
You know, I was the only idiot in the audience cheering him after that.
That's all right. He's Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, how could you hate Christopher Daniels? It was an absolutely phenomenal promo, you know?
Yeah, it was amazing. And on the DVD, the Jacobs promo wasn't too shabby either.
Oh, God. Jimmy Jacobs is just absolute god on the mic.
He's amazing.
It's a shame that, you know, WWE has this bias against guys with size because he has the look, he has the talent, he has the mic skills. He could be a huge star someday. Just, you know, it's a shame that WWE has that bias, but thank God for Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. where a guy like Jimmy Jacobs can be a big star.
And I really
getting
think
over.
I really think he's the kind of guy who could develop his gimmick in WWE where he wouldn't have to either water himself down and it would be bad because I know he couldn't hang anyone and stand under their blood dripping on him. In the WWE.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the fun. I mean, that kind of stuff. It's reminiscent of the Attitude Era, you know, with Stone Cold Steve Austin being crucified by The Undertaker. I mean, it's just... But you know how it is. I mean, if Jimmy Jacobs got in there, he'd be able to get his gimmick over on the sole basis of it. You know, just his personality and not necessarily through his really violent actions. Obviously, if he ever went to WWE, it'd be extremely watered down. But at the same time, I feel like a good portion of the crowd would really appreciate what he does. Mm-hmm. He could be a really good... you know, a really good hardcore mid-card heel. Kind of like, obviously, a lot of comparisons have been made to Raven about him, and I think those are very true.
Very accurate.
And if he ever made it to WWE, I think he could be the next Raven, without a doubt.
But he's only, what, 5'9", 5'10"? He's not that big.
Yeah, maybe 200 pounds soaking wet, you know?
Yeah, Well, I always have a hard time comparing people's heights and weights and stuff because I'm 6'7", 220, so I'm like, so I see everyone as short, but and I see right, people right. hyping up like, oh, he's 6'7", and I'm like, I'm 6'7", I'm not that big. So whatever.
I'm 5'10", so you know, everyone's tall to me.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Yeah, I know. I met The Rock once, and he's just, well, I didn't necessarily meet him, but I was really close to him as an autograph signing. I didn't actually get to meet him, but guy's really tall.
Is he?
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? He's 2 inches shorter than you, so I guess it's a moot point, but to someone of my normal height, you know.
Mm-hmm. But he's pretty built, too, so that makes him always look bigger. Like, I'm just tall and scrawny, so. Whatever.
Yeah, well, the guy's a complete just machine built out of stone.
And he's a great actor, actually. I'm actually glad he went to Hollywood. I think he's doing pretty great.
Yeah, well, you know, Doom notwithstanding, I think he's had a solid career so far.
Mm-hmm. But I think he'll be back in the WWE. A lot of people don't think he will. I think he'll be back when business starts going down again, because people realize that there's alternatives out there with the success of pay-per-view and ROH in the future, not just ROH, but as much as I hate TNA, I think I hate TNA more than WWE. I don't hate WWE because they know what they want to do and do it. But,
right.
But TNA just tries to be like something that they aren't.
It's really awful. They're falling into the same pitfalls as WCW. I know it's been beaten to death, but they need to stop pushing guys whose drawing power peaked in 1996. You know, Kevin Nash has no business being a main eventer at a pay-per-view when there are tons of guys like the Motor City Machine Guns, like Christopher Daniels, like AJ Styles, like Samoa Joe, all of whom deserve to be at the very top, winning the championship and feuding with Kurt Angle and Christian Cage, and not Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
And Big Papa Pump, man.
Oh, God, yeah. Mr. Roids.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a shame. Steiner actually used to be really, really good back in the day.
I know.
But, God.
I showed one of my friends a Steiner screwdriver, which is crazy awesome. They're like, that's Scott Steiner?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, speaking of wrestlers that we like, who are some of your favorite all-time wrestlers and favorite current wrestlers? Because those are the next questions. So.
All-time, well, obviously, you know, Ric Flair, who I will be talking about in, a few minutes, just going a little bit more at length. Obviously, it was his farewell address this past Monday on Raw. Also, I'd say my top five in order are probably Flair, Ricky Steamboat, who was also involved in my favorite match of all time. It was the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania 3 versus Macho Man. Then I'm going to go with Bret Hart, who's the guy I grew up with. You know, he was the top face in the company at the time, so it's just more of a sentimental thing, but God, he was an incredible worker. Next up, I'm probably going to have to go with Shawn Michaels, and I know all the backstage shit that he's pulled, but you know what? At the end of the day, there's really no one better than him in terms of the big money match, putting over guys, carrying them. He's just such an incredible performer.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, I'm actually going to have to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I know he was like, you know, the very first badass face.
Mm-hmm.
People really overlook how good he actually was in the ring. He had a few matches with Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit that were technically based old school style matches, both of which were absolutely incredible. This was right around the time of his ill-fated heel term after WrestleMania 17.
Mm-hmm.
But how about you? What are some of your favorites?
It's really hard for me to do it in order, but, cause it changes so much. Like my favorite all-time wrestlers, like not currently in their prime right now, are probably, obviously, Angle. Well, he's still wrestling, but he's not what he was.
Yeah.
Loved him, cause he was the first guy I really got into. Well, the first guy I loved was Chris Jericho.
Oh, yes.
Right. Oh, I was a huge Chris Jericho mark. I loved everything about him, and he's still an insane wrestler. And he's one of the guys. He's one of the guys I've gone back and looked at his history of matches and seen his WCW, ECW, Japan stuff. And man,
he's crazy. Have you read his book yet?
I have not. I really want to, though.
Yeah. My brother's still sitting on the copy that I own, so.
I actually, I have a hard time reading WWE books because they're, I just can't always know what I'm reading is true, but, like, I've read a lot of Foley's books. I read, what was the first one? Crap.
Have a Nice Day.
Yes, I read Have a Nice Day, and then the one, the second one, and then I read the novel, the young adult novel that he came out with, Tietam Brown, where the kid bit the kid's nutsack off, which was pretty weird. Did you read that one?
I did not. I had a friend who was reading it at the time, and she didn't know that Mick Foley was actually a pro wrestler.
Oh.
So I was just kind of surprised that she had actually heard about the book and not have known Mick Foley's history.
Yeah, that was a messed up book. But and then I read
it. It definitely sounds like it.
Yeah. Some kid was trying to rape a guy in the bathroom or something, and he cracked him over the head with a sack full of quarters and then bit off his nuts.
Oh, that's justifiable, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's all right, I guess. and then I read the latest one, whatever it was, the Barbed Wire, or whatever it's called.
Hardcore Diaries.
There you go. You're better with that than I am. I think this is going to be a good partnership.
Oh, absolutely. I like how this is going.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are good books, and Ric Flair's book is amazing.
Yes. It's actually funny that you mentioned it's hard to believe what you know, what you're reading in these WWE books. I did read Eric Bischoff's book, which is absolutely hysterical and extremely entertaining, but I can't believe if half of what he says is true. It's just, when he's slamming on Vince Russo, it is just the absolute funniest thing, because, you know, if nothing else, he's right about Russo.
Yeah.
Russo is absolutely, he drove WCW into the ground. He's fucking up TNA. Someone just needs to tell the guy to stop.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things fucking up TNA, but I think he's up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I actually read that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say that, yeah, it's impossible to Eric Bischoff. I couldn't even imagine reading his book and taking anything seriously after seeing the rise and fall of ECW and his twisted take on everything. I wasn't raiding talent. They were willingly coming to me, which is true. But he had that stupid smarmy-ass grin on his face. I just wanted to give him five fat ones across the face.
You and me both. You know, it's a shame because he's an absolute, I don't want to say booking genius, but he definitely did something right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've only been to one WCW event. It was a Monday Nitro. I don't know, for some of the older fans, maybe you were alive during the Monday Night Wars, and you can remember very vaguely of Eric Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon to a match on a WCW pay-per-view. Don't remember what pay-per-view it was, but the next night on Nitro, Eric Bischoff came down from the ceiling on a motorcycle, and he had that same smarmy grin on his face, and he was gloating like a bastard about how he's so much tougher than Vince, and Vince didn't show up. I was at that Nitro. I was at the Providence Civic Center in May of 97. It was one of the most bizarre things I had ever seen in my life.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I think a lot of people remember that because I'm going to say a good majority of the ROH fan base is around your age, early 20s.
That is true, yeah. 20s,
yeah. So I think most people were fans. That's one of the reasons people seek out ROH is because they were fans when great wrestling was prevalent in America and in mainstream America, and they want to they want to relive the glory days.
Yeah, there's great wrestling out there. You just got to know where to find it. And it's not to take anything away from the WWE. I'm going to be running down the card for WrestleMania in a few minutes and giving my thoughts on the matches. That was a very good show. It's just a shame that they can't, you know, bring that good fortune over every single week. I mean, you know, sure, there were a few duds, but what WWE card doesn't have them? You got guys like Big Daddy V and the Great Khali on the roster. You're bound to have them.
Mm-hmm. It's pitiful, the guys they signed just for the namesake, just to say, oh, look at him, he's 7 foot tall, he's Indian.
Yeah.
Although he was hilarious in The Longest Yard, the remake, which is
that is
great
true
movie. But
I was impressed by it.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of movies, the last three questions are just simple ones that you can just over. They're what are some of your musical, movie, and hobbies? Like, what do you like music and movie-wise, and then what are some of your hobbies?
Oh, music and movies. Well, I'm trying. Well, obviously, if I'm watching Ring of Honor, I gravitate more towards stuff that isn't necessarily mainstream. That's not to say what I don't like isn't mainstream, but I do. You know, I'm always looking for something different, something new, something I'm not going to hear on the radio or see at the Megaplex every day. My favorite band of all time is Radiohead. I'm sure there are tons of Radiohead fans out there too. I'm also a big fan of Pearl Jam, Weezer. Oh God, Tool. And, you know, obviously some softer stuff. Jeff Buckley, Damian Rice, Rufus Wainwright. And as far as movies go, oddly enough, my favorite movie of all time is Annie Hall, which is a Woody Allen romantic comedy from the 70s. But anyone out there who's seen it knows it's an absolutely hysterical film. It's very emotional, very impactful. And the fact that they can only get that across in an hour and a half is just amazing to me. Also, The Shawshank Redemption, American Beauty, Usual Suspects, Pulp Fiction, Schindler's List, all just absolutely brilliant films. It's just so many good things out there. You just got to know where to find them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do some research. The internet's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as hobbies go, basically, I'm kind of lazy. I just sit on my ass and do nothing. I watch wrestling, play video games, play movies. I do play guitar. I'm not in a band or anything like that. Not very good, but I have been playing for a while. Just play around for fun, screw around in my room afterwards, and, you know.
Yep, there's nothing wrong with sitting around on your ass.
That is true.
It's highly underrated.
It has gotten me to where I am today.
Which is hosting a podcast in front of tens, if not twenties, of people.
Yes. Otter Nation Podcast, this is our very first broadcast if you're just tuning in, which is almost impossible. So ignore that comment.
That's all right. Maybe we'll do live shows in the future, but
hopefully.
Not right now. Musically, I'm very eclectic about what I like. Like, it's not just that it's not mainstream; it's that I have very varied taste. I listen to a lot of country, which is going to be hated on by a lot of the ROH fans.
I know.
I also like a ton of old school rock, but not. I'm not like the usual suspects, AC/DC, Zeppelin. I'm not really into that as much as I like. I love Skynyrd. My favorite band is probably Bon Jovi, because as much as I'm going to get hated on for that, more than anything that I say on here,
I know.
Yeah, I saw him live, and I love him, so whatever.
I also
enjoy Rush. I'm not a huge fan of rap music. I'll listen to some of it. More lyrically based rap than anything mainstream. I hate any mainstream Soulja Boy rap shit. But
oh God, yeah.
Yeah, I like some old Eminem, not what they play on the radio, but older and newer stuff. And a guy called Immortal Technique, who people may not have heard of, but he's a lyricist. And but yeah,
he's a genius, actually.
Is he?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm actually a big underground hip-hop fan. I know that might come as a shock to many people because I'm as white as it gets, but Providence has one of the best hip-hop scenes in the country, and I'm always looking for, you know, new underground hip-hop artists that are just, you know, have something to say and aren't just, you know, doing what's in the mainstream, cashing in on the whole, you know, bitches and hoes ghetto subculture that's out there right now.
Oh, yeah. I actually go to school in a place called Brighton, Michigan, which is a pretty suburban, rich-ass, white boy neighborhood, which I despise because Hamburg where I live is more country, like, hick place, and I'm kind of in between. I'm myself, but these kids think they are the most ghetto people in the world. I saw a kid with four popped collars the other day. Four polo shirts on, popped collars, no joke.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Four shirts?
Yep, four polo shirts. Abercrombie and Fitch, popped collars, and everything. Ridiculous.
Yeah, because Abercrombie and Fitch makes you ghetto.
Mm-hmm. That's what all the people in the hood wear.
Oh, naturally.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we've given the people a pretty good idea of us.
Absolutely.
I think. Oh, also, I like a lot of movies. I'm a huge film buff. The movies I like are weird because normally film buffs are like, oh, I like that independent movie because it's, I don't know, but I like some mainstream movies, but I also like my favorite movie is Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction's great.
Naturally. Yep.
I'm a sucker for cheesy 80s Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, St. Elmo's Fire, stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Which is all right sometimes, but
naturally.
I love Judd Apatow. He's my favorite director. I think he's a comedic genius, especially.
Absolutely, best comedy writer around right now.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, he did Knocked Up, Superbad.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, 40-Year-Old Virgin. He produced Ricky Bobby and Anchorman. He
Walk Hard also.
Walk Hard, yeah.
Very funny movie. Not a lot of people saw it.
Mm-mm. Any movie with Seth Rogen in it, he basically did. He has a new one coming out called Pineapple Express, I believe, which is looks hilarious. I saw the red.
Oh, yeah. Here. He has one coming out this Friday, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, man. I went to Chicago over spring break, which ours was last week, because I still have spring break, because I'm cool like that.
But, oh, yeah, of course.
I went to Chicago to visit the Illinois Institute of Art, because I was thinking about going to college there. Never mind that, but all the cabs everywhere had ads on top of them that said random crap about Sarah Marshall, and there were signs, billboards all over, everything on the L, if you've been to Chicago's, the metro train system there. There were crazy ads for it. It said random stuff, like it looked like handwritten stuff, and it was like, oh, I'm so over you, Sarah Marshall. I hate your guts, Sarah Marshall. Like, all this stuff about her. And my dad, one day, like, we'd been there for 3 days, and all of them at the bottom said www.gettingoversarahmarshall.com or something stupid like that. And it said the website. So my dad, after having been there for 3 days, says, did you guys see that? I guess all of these cabbies must hate the same person. I think they're allowed to write whatever they want on the boards. They all hate this girl. I'm like, wow, Dad. But, so I guess we're done with that. And,
yep.
I know we're an ROH podcast, but I guess WrestleMania is WrestleMania. And anyone anywhere is going to cover WrestleMania. And
yeah.
I don't think enough can be said about Ric Flair, so I'm going to leave it at he's the greatest wrestler in the business. And if people are saying, what does Ric Flair have to do with Ring of Honor, then I seriously doubt the validity of your fandom, because he has inspired everyone. And we could have a weekly podcast forever about and talk just about Ric Flair. So
exactly,
I'm not going to harp too much on his greatness, but that is the only wrestling angle that's ever made me cry. I watched WrestleMania last night after having known the results for 24 hours, and I still cried at the Ric Flair match. I was choking up when he was coming down the aisle because I just knew what was coming. And then as soon as the I'm sorry, I love you hit and the stiff as hell sweet chin music. Oh, man, that was beautifully done. That was one of the greatest wrestling matches, most emotional wrestling matches. That's what wrestling's about. And I'm very proud of the WWE. As much as I love to hate on them, I'm very proud of them for how classy they treated that angle and how they treated Ric Flair's retirement. And I know, oh, wow. I guess he is having mic problems again, which is all right, because I talk a lot. So I will continue talking, because that's what I'm into. Well, we have the ROH, we have the WrestleMania review, which is what he is going to do, what Ryan's going to do, and he has some ROH news too, just to some of the news wires and such, and then we're going to have esteemed forum member JWSO come in and review the show, so the WrestleMania shows over the weekend. So we'll wait until he comes back for all that. I guess there's something I'm just doing on my own, is the Shingo Wrestler Spotlight. I figure that we would spotlight a wrestler who has been in the mainstream. Like, I mean, if we did it a couple weeks ago, we would have done Kevin Steen, because he was at the forefront of the Ring of Honor spotlight, I guess. And with the WrestleMania shows coming up and the Dragon Gate wrestlers coming back, Shingo was one of the ones who, I guess we'll hear from JWSO if this is correct, but I believe that I read most reviews said that him and BB Hawk versus Kevin Steen and El Generico stole the weekend, and amongst other things. And I believe. Are you back now, Ryan?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that technical difficulty.
That's all right.
Still new to this whole podcast thing. I promise we'll have all the technical difficulties worked out before next week.
Yes, we will. Do you think we should just keep going in the order we had it, or do you think I should just finish this Shingo thing?
You know, since you're on Shingo, we might as well just keep going with that. I actually, when you're done with that, I do have a semi-interesting story, more like an emotional thing for me, about Shingo, so I'll let you finish up.
Okay. Well, Shingo, just a general overview of the man. His real name is Shingo Takagi. He goes by Shingo in all Roman cap locks in the ring. He is billed at 5.8 inches, which is 178 centimeters if you are European or Japanese. He weighs 183 pounds. He was born in 1982, which makes him, what, 26 years old now?
26 or 7. My math is shitty, so.
November, so he'll be turning 26 this year. He's 25 right now, which is incredible to me that these wrestlers are so young. Like, how old is Danielson? 25?
26 now.
26. And think about
these. Fucked up. What the hell have I done with my life, you know?
Yeah, and Ric Flair wrestling till what, 60-something?
Well, he's 59 right now, 59. But I believe he's turning 60 later this year.
Okay, so 59 years old. Danielson's almost a third of his age, and look at what he's already accomplished. I don't see how the stars these days, how it's amazing that they haven't paid their dues as much. Like, I know they did, like, crazy in the Texas Wrestling Academy and stuff, but people like Ric Flair working on the independent circle, and it just, that just goes to show how the organization of all the territories has benefited wrestlers and pro wrestling in general. Well, Shingo is the first graduate of the Dragon Gate Dojo. He also trained at something called the Animal Hamaguchi Dojo, which I'm not sure what it is. But so he is very new. He's only been wrestling for 4 years, which is the same amount as Shane Hagedorn and Pelle Primo and that class of wrestlers. So it just goes to show how much he's improved. In 2005, he won Ryan here's buddy's Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year Award, which I'm not sure if that's voted upon because I don't subscribe to the Observer, or if that Dave picks that. I believe it's voted upon. So that's great. In Dragon Gate, he became a member of the Blood Generation stable and began making appearances with ROH, where a lot of us knew him. In late 2006, he became a regular wrestler in ROH. And put on some great matches throughout all of early 2006 up until Good Times, Great Memories, which was, now that you think about it, an amazing farewell show to Matt Sydal. No, not Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal left much later, but Daniels, for the time being, I think he'll be back. Shingo, Cabana, Homicide, for the time being. That's just my opinion. I don't know anything. But he, Fifth Year Festival Liverpool, Nuruki Doi and Shingo tagged to beat the Briscoe brothers, who had just won the titles from Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal. So, which at that time, Morishima also had the belt, which meant foreign wrestlers, all of them from Japan, held all of the major titles in Ring of Honor, which is the first time in America in which a major promotion had all of its titles held by international superstars. He had his final ROH match at Good Times, Great Memories, as I just said. Then apparently Blood Generation broke up. You're back?
I am. Sorry about that.
That's totally all right. But after Blood Generation, I guess, broke up or whatever, do you know anything more about that? Because I'm not really well-versed in Dragon Gate, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of hard to follow Dragon Gate on this side of the pond because, you know, they don't really... It's hard to come across the DVDs for some reason. Maybe I've been living in the wrong place, but it's almost impossible. Noah is much more prevalent. Mm-hmm. My expertise with Dragon Gate is limited to what I've seen in Ring of Honor, unfortunately. However, I mentioned before the very first Ring of Honor show I went to was headlined by Shingo and Sima versus Sydal and Daniels. did win Rookie of the Year in The Observer back in 2005. That is indeed, sorry I couldn't cut in, my mic had screwed up at that point. It is voted upon by subscribers to the newsletter, and actually I'm not entirely sure, but if you just send a ballot to Dave, you don't necessarily have to be a subscriber to, you know, put in your thoughts.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This is actually kind of weird. I did get to meet Shingo, and I don't know if anyone has been to the Hartford Arena. The Connecticut Expo Center, directly across the street, is a Quiznos, and Shingo was in there ordering sandwiches for him and Seema. I really wish that he spoke English better because he seemed like a really nice guy, but I did get a chance to talk to him very, very briefly, wished him luck in his match that night, and, you know, it's just a great moment for me. At my very first Ring of Honor show, I got to meet a guy who went on to have what I thought was a 4-star match, which is, you know, just incredible. And that's, you know, just ingrained in my memory.
Mm-hmm. The closest I've come to meeting a wrestler is either with a Saban story, which I don't believe you got to chime in on because your mic cut out, but
yeah,
the Saban story, which I haven't actually met him yet, or I met Zeus, actually. Yeah, my dad works in HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, and he works for the U of M, but he also has a side business, and he was he got a job putting in an air conditioner and heating system in this church that someone was renovating, and that someone turned out to be Zeus. Like, my dad just randomly came home, hey, do you know a big black guy who used to kick people or something named Zeus or something, some god thing? I'm like, what? Are you kidding? So, yeah, but
it's funny you mention that. I my cousin's friend is actually his cousin. My cousin's friend's cousin is Chuck Palumbo.
What?
Yeah, it's really weird. Apparently, he's a total dick too. So, you know, go figure.
He actually seems like a gay biker gimmick. Whatever. That's actually one of the first angles I remember was the whole wedding thing. That was the first Raw I ever saw, was where that was on SmackDown when Bischoff debuted the 3-minute warning, Jamal and Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rosie's wrestling on independent circuit right now as Ro-Z, right? And Jamal's Umager. That Umager King.
Or Umanga, as Regal likes to put it.
Manga. That's nice. But I don't even know why I was talking about Umaga. I have no idea. Oh, the okay. That was one of the first. That was right before I started watching Raw. It was after that SmackDown when there was the wedding angle with Eric Bischoff and the Stephanie McMahon feud. But that was Shingo. We've gone a long way from Umanga to Shingo. But apparently, after which neither of us know how it happened, Blood Generation broke up and New Hazard was formed. Shingo, BB Hawk, who is hilarious from what I've seen of him. I watched a match which was on the old YouTube of Shingo and BB Hawk versus Kenta and Tajiri Ishimori.
Oh, jeez.
Which was incredible. It was great. And BB Hawk and his dancers, which there was a big outrage on the ROH forums that he didn't bring his dancers.
Oh, yeah. God forbid.
Yeah, which I don't see I can see both sides of the argument. People say the cost, people say the cost of flying dancers in from Japan, which I can see, but other people say that you could just hire local dancers and teach them the little dance, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, well, we're lucky we got the guy in the first place. Yeah. I think we should just leave it at that.
A plane ticket to Japan, just a regular plane ticket's like, what, $2,000 from...
Probably.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. Plus, you gotta pay for his room, and I'm sure his money, his actual appearance fee and such.
Yeah.
But, BB Hawk, Shingo, and Cyber Kong formed New Hazard and... on May 10th, 2007, defeated the Typhoon team of Seema, his former partner, Susumu Yokosuka, and Ryo Saito for the Open the Triangle Gate Championships and held them for a good 2 months when they were vacated when BB Hawk was injured. And then they challenged with Shingo, Cyber Kong, and Jack Evans, apparently. But they were unsuccessful. And I think ROH could benefit from a trios title. But I'm not one of those guys.
I don't know. No, sorry, go ahead.
No, what's up? Go.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, I know Chikara has their trios tournament every February. The Dragon Gate staple is obviously the six-man tag that we're lucky enough to see every year at the WrestleMania Double Shot shows. As far as an actual trios tournament, trios title, I don't know how well that would work in Ring of Honor. I mean, we already got the tag belts. We got the World Championship. I mean, the Stable Wars, if there was ever a time to bring it in, it was during those, and those really, you know, didn't pan out very well. And now that, obviously, the Resilience has been broken up, the hell's the one with Adam Pearce? Hangman 3.
Yeah, Hangman 3. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah. If you count Shane Hagedorn, which most people don't, but I still love you, Shane. You're a beautiful, beautiful man. But, I mean, if there were a time to bring it in, it would have been then. I'd say, unfortunately, I would have liked to see him because we've had some great six-man tags before, but I think the time for that has unfortunately passed.
Mm-hmm. As much as I love Danielson versus Black at Unscripted 3, I'm disappointed that we didn't see the Trios tournament.
Yeah.
But, I guess you're right about the Trios title. I mean, the tag division is stretched as it is, and I'm not really one of those guys who comes up with, ROH needs a mid-card title, we need to elevate the belts. I think Gabe does a great job of already making feuds mean something without being over a title.
Right, and even in storylines that were, like, failures, like the Stable Wars, we at least get something out of it. I mean, Eric Stevens, for instance, became a star during the Stable Wars. Mm-hmm. Age of the Fall, you know, Necro Butcher popularized himself. Tyler Black became a star. Jimmy Jacobs made his return. There were a lot of positives that came out of the Stable Wars, even if the overall concept failed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it failed, but as much as it didn't live up to what it could have been.
Right, yeah.
It would have been considered a success with any lower expectations than Gabe's given us because of his amazing booking ability and ROH's amazing ability to just build people up and give everything it's got, so.
Yeah, you can't hit a home run every time, you know?
Mm-mm. Well, Shingo, let me finish him up real quick. I mean,
sure.
I guess that's basically a good overview of his career. Also, him and Susumu Yokosuka live in Osaka, one of the Japan shows unsuccessfully challenged the Briscoes for the tag team championship. He uses the original Falconry, which is a wrist clutch Olympic suplex or Olympic slam, which I believe is the generic name for an angle slam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall exactly seeing that finisher, but I know a lot in ROH used the last Falconry, which is a pump handle torture rack dropped into a Michinoku bomb. You gotta love the Wikipedia descriptions of everything like that. But he has a good amount of finishers, which I think is a good thing how Japan does that. I think it's really cool when they have different levels of finishers, and then they have a certain finisher that they only bust out for crazy, insane matches.
Yes. A good example would probably be Kobashi's Burning Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost never seen, especially nowadays. But, you know, if there were ever one more thing that could have made Joe versus Kobashi even more perfect, it would have been the Burning Hammer.
Mm-hmm. Could Kobashi have even gotten Joe up for the Burning Hammer?
You know what? Joe is, what, like 280 or so?
Yeah.
I think he could have gotten him up. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, well, Kobashi is, what, 260 or so? Mm-hmm. I mean, if guys like John Cena are getting Mabel up on his back in the big show, I think, you know, Kobashi can get Joe up.
Mm-hmm. That would have been great, but that was a great match on its own. But enough about Shingo, let's go on to your WrestleMania recap.
All right. In case you've been living under a rock, WrestleMania was this past weekend from Orlando, Florida, in the Citrus Bowl. The card, you know, I'm not going to lie, the build was absolutely absolutely awful, but the show really delivered in the end. Mm-hmm. Of course, the highlight of which was Michaels versus Flair. I'll get to that in a second. Here's a brief rundown of the results and my thoughts on each match. The pre-show battle royal, actually, which not a lot of people got to see, which aired exclusively on WWE.com. The 24-man, obviously, and the person who won got a shot at the ECW title later in the night. The winner was Kane. It was a standard battle royal, what you could, you know, see at any night on any wrestling show, basically. The opening match for the pay-per-view was Finlay versus JBL in a Belfast brawl. I really like this match, actually. I know a lot of people are kind of lukewarm towards it, but I thought there were some pretty innovative spots. Finlay and JBL both worked their asses off. I've never been too keen on JBL as a worker, but I thought he did a great job in this match. Of course, there, you know, it was, the brawling was standard, but when the big spots came, they hit hard. So I'm going to go 3.25 stars on that. Next up was the Money in the Bank match, which, as far as comparing it to the previous Money in the Banks, I think it's the weakest of the four, but even still, it was an excellent match. I'll give it 4 stars. The highlight, the biggest spot for me, obviously, was Shelton Benjamin being pushed off the ladder by Carlito and John Morrison, falling through another ladder on the outside of the ring. Just the look on Carlito's face was absolutely priceless. It really, you know, it blurred the line between kayfabe and shoot, and I just thought it was an excellent moment. CM Punk did go on to win the match in an excellent finish with Chris Jericho. I thought it was a little shoddy that they jobbed Punk out clean to Jericho the next night on Raw. That's another story. Mm-hmm. Next up was Batista versus Umaga, which was extremely disappointing. Just the pacing of the match was off. The wrestling wasn't really anything that great. No more nerve holds for Umaga. Please, Umaga, I know you're a huge fan of mine, and we go out to lunch all the time together. And just please, I beg you, no more nerve holds. The ending Batista bomb spot was just, I can't tell whose fault that was, but it was just absolutely ridiculous to watch. Unfortunately, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I got to go with 1.75 stars on that match. Next up was Kane and Chavo Guerrero for the ECW title. Over in 8 seconds, Kane's your new champion. That was a shit match, and it really shows you what they think of ECW as a brand. And then, of course, was the absolute highlight of probably my career. Oh, I shouldn't say career, but as my wrestling fan.
Hey, give yourself credit. You work hard to be a wrestling fan. That's career.
That is true. I work my ass off. 5 hours of TV a week is not a lot. It's not that easy to keep up with. I don't watch TNA if you're keeping score. But, you know, this Michaels versus Flair match, I know technically it wasn't perfect, but with any other wrestlers, any other story, it probably would have been maybe, you know, 3.25, 3.5. But the emotion behind it, I'm sorry, I love you, into the super kick, Flair sobbing uncontrollably as he stood up to take it, and then the pin, and the next 5 minutes as he walked out of the ring, down the ramp. You know, 5 grown men that were watching this in my living room, getting choked up with tears, trying to hold it back because no one wanted to cry in front of anyone else. It was a beautiful moment. I really felt special and honored to be able to watch something like that. So the emotion of the match, the psychology was absolutely brilliant. I'm going to go with 4.5 stars on this match. That's a very high rating, and I'm actually going to say this is the best match I have seen so far this year. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Next up was the very oddly placed Bunny Mania. Completely killed any momentum. I should probably say this now. Anything after Flair and Michaels seemed very anticlimactic. So I really felt like it should have been the main event, but, you know, unfortunately it was not meant to be. Oddly enough, I'm going to give 1/4 star to the Bunny Mania match. Mostly because the lights went out. And it made me laugh. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
beyond that, it was your standard Divas match. Beth Phoenix ended up getting the pin on Mickey, not Mickey James. I wish Mickey James were in the match, but unfortunately it was Maria. After the Fisher Woman's Buster, Santino interfered, distracted her. Snoop Dogg came out. It was really eerie because the power, like the backup lights were still on. Snoop Dogg just kind of emerged from the darkness and had that weird, he was in a shitty vampire movie like 6 years ago, and that's what it kind of reminded me of. And then he gave a really weak-looking clothesline to Santino, and that was that. That was your Divas match of the evening. Next up was the triple threat WWE title match. John Cena, Randy Orton, and Triple H. Obviously, the surprise ending being that John Cena retained after his soccer kick to the head of Triple H, then covering. Oh, wait, what did I say? John Cena?
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, yeah, Randy Orton retained. Sorry, still having residual effects from the year-long title run. But, yeah, Randy Orton did indeed retain. It started out slow when Randy Orton was in control. Really wasn't anything to write home about, but it actually turned out to be a very good match as it progressed. I'm going to go 3.5 stars because I thought it was interesting that Triple H busted out the Crippler Crossface. I think he's one of the few guys that can use that move and get away with it. And, it was a very good match. There was some suspense there, and the swerve at the end bumped it up at least a quarter star for me. Then next up was Mayweather versus The Big Show. Honestly, I don't give two shits about it, but if you're curious, I'm sure you heard by now, Mayweather won. And then finally, the main event of the evening, Edge versus The Undertaker. I'm very happy that Edge got the main event of WrestleMania. I think this absolutely shows the company's trust in him that he's a legitimate superstar now. The match itself, unfortunately, the crowd was completely burned out. There wasn't a whole lot of, heat to the match. I liked it, though. It was another really well-wrestled match. Again, started out very slow, kind of plodding, but then it really picked up at the end. There were a couple excellent reversal sequences. We saw, interference from Ryder and Hawkins trying to distract from The Undertaker. Vicky Guerrero was watching from the ramp. In the end, though, The Undertaker reversed a spear into the triangle choke, which was an interesting spot to see. And at the end of it, Edge tapped out, and we have our new World Heavyweight Champion. And that was, I'll give that 3.5 stars again. So as you can see, the show was actually very, if you want to analyze it match by match, doesn't really hold up as well. But the good matches were really good. One of them exceeded my expectations, and it proved to be one of the most important nights, probably, if not the most important in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had something in my head that I was going to say, and it was going to be really elegant and classy and impactful, and now I don't know what it was. So.
Darn.
Yeah.
All right. Should we just head on to news then? And if you can remember what it was, feel free to interject at any time.
Sure thing.
All right then. As for news, WrestleMania actually turned out, oddly enough, I don't know if you read this, but it turned out to be the highest grossing event in WWE history.
Yeah, I actually read that. But I think that's, I don't think that's as impressive as it sounds, because I think it's going to continue to be the highest grossing every year after year, because we're, like, the business went into a decline after the Attitude Era, as we all know, late or early 2000. Yeah. I think it's swinging back up, but the market's so saturated right now, like, it's just...
It is.
Yeah. It's going to increase for a while now, so...
It is. I think not only that, but they keep on fucking jacking up the ticket prices, so,
Yeah.
Of course it's going to come across as more.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, the event did manage to rake in $5.85 million in ticket sales alone. Obviously, advertisers and the buys will obviously help that number out, and... obviously, the show is going to be considered a great success for the company. It also brought in $30 million to the local economy in Orlando. And I don't know if any of you have been outside of the Disney World area of Orlando. It's not exactly the prettiest city. So hopefully they take that $30 million and, put it towards education or something, because they desperately need it.
Well, I sincerely hope that they don't see this as a testament to Floyd Mayweather's drawing ability.
Yeah, I think Flair might have had something just a tad bit more to do with that,
Mm-hmm.
And also, Dr. Keith Lipinski was, a good friend of mine. I call him a good friend, even though I've only met him twice in person. But anyway, he looks great in a black wife beater, by the way. I don't know if I've ever told him that, but you do, Dr. Keith. He was in attendance at actually every single show of the weekend, minus the Hall of Fame. He did go to the ROH shows. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him yet. I will shoot him an email, just to see, get his personal take. He was there for Flair's retirement match, the going away speech, Super Card of Honor 3, Dragon Gate Challenge 2, and the TNA Impact taping, which, God bless him for that.
Mm-hmm. At least he went. That's a crazy week of wrestling. Any wrestling fan would have died to be in Orlando this weekend. No matter what you're a fan of, you have the best of every world there. So.
Exactly. It's just, as I was reading all these reports coming in, I felt like an idiot for not going. But, you know, it's just so expensive. The ticket alone for WrestleMania would have put me back $100 or so. Mm-hmm. And also, this actually leads me into my next point. It might be better off that I didn't go because there was an incident with the pyrotechnics display at WrestleMania. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I heard about that.
Oh, yes. A cable that was... let me set this up. At the end of when Undertaker won his title, they had streams of pyro going down from the roof of, well, not the roof, but like from the back of the stadium all the way to the stage. It's reminiscent of the Dudley Boys opening pyro back in the golden age. And the cable that was carrying one of those fireballs snapped off and flew into the crowd. The cable went into the crowd. Sparks went into the crowd. 40 people go to the hospital. Horrible burns everywhere. Millions of deaths. All right, well, not really, but, 40 people did go to the hospital. My mistake. One person went to the hospital. 40 people were burned. No serious injuries, no deaths, thank God. WWE did issue a statement. I have it right here in front of me. It reads, we're investigating the incident and doing everything we can to find out why it happened and to make sure it never happens again. While we apologize to anyone who was injured and or alarmed by this occurrence, we take solace in the fact that the reported injuries were minor.
Well, that's good. I mean, but 40 is a significant number. At least WWE is acknowledging it and not saying, oh, the Undertaker used magical abilities to bring down the ropes and turn him heel.
Well, yeah, anyone over the age of 4 could have figured that out, I think. But, I'm just glad everyone's okay. I know it's kind of a harrowing incident when you see a giant fucking fireball coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, obviously it was a lapse in safety on the WWE's part, but this is a 1 in a million occurrence. I mean, how many shows have they done where nothing has gone wrong with the pyro? Mm-hmm. This is the first time I can ever remember something actually, setting the stage on fire, obviously in this case, the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't heard much mainstream press about it, so I don't think it's going to get too much negative attention.
Nah, probably not. Do you think anyone's going to sue?
I hope not. Don't you sign isn't there a waiver on the back of your ticket that you're not going to get hurt if anything happens, or you can't sue if,
you do get hurt? Yeah, there's always like that assumed risk responsibility going into any sporting event, baseball especially. How many old ladies have gotten killed by bats flying into the stands?
Mm-hmm.
But, when you go to a WWE event, this is, I got to say, I can't take the WWE side on this. I think the assumed risk responsibility involves, moreover, wrestlers coming into the crowd and just saying, don't get in their way because they're going to run you over.
Yeah.
Nowhere on the back of the ticket does it say, giant fucking fireballs are going to come at you, so please be aware. Bring a poncho, bring an umbrella, something to protect you from the horrible blaze.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not one of those Sue-happy people, so...
No.
But okay.
This is the free, so, someone's going to crack one out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
You got any more general wrestling?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
I got a very interesting point I read maybe not more than 2 hours ago. This was credited to WrestlingNewsWorld.com. Dusty Rhodes has actually moved from being the head writer of ECW down to the developmental territory FCW, which is where future WWE superstars Colt Cabana and Matt Sydal are currently training.
Hmm. I did not.
Yep. So, it appears that head ECW writing territory, head ECW writing responsibilities are going to go to Michael Hayes permanently. So he'll just do double duty between SmackDown and ECW. I mean, the guy's done good things over at SmackDown, so I'm sure this will be, just fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and. Also, capping off the WWE news segment of this fine podcast, Honor Nation, our very first podcast, by the way. Got to get in the cheap plug.
Mm-hmm.
Last night's Monday Night Raw did a 3.9 in the ratings, And obviously the centerpiece for that was the Flair farewell speech, which if you watch that and you're a wrestling fan, even a casual fan, you had to be made of stone not to at least be moved by it. I personally had tears coming down my face. I had been choked up actually this entire day. People were wondering like why I had this look on my face at work today, why I looked like I was about to be about to start crying. Mm-hmm. But just the emotion of it, you knew you were seeing something special. This is not seeing something that you see every day. This is probably something we're never going to see ever again. Mm-hmm. At least, and if we do, it's not going to be for another 30 or 40 years.
And it's not going to be a player, so it's not going to be the same. Of course.
Exactly. It could be anyone. It could be Bryan Danielson. It could be Shawn Michaels. It could be anyone. It's not going to have that same impact. But the names that they brought out for this were just absolutely incredible. The original Four Horsemen, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, Barry Windham all came to the ring, to say goodbye. And apparently, from what I read, Flair had no idea that all these old-timers were going to be coming out and saying goodbye to him, which is always a nice surprise. Because you could tell Flair was just sobbing uncontrollably in the middle of the ring last night.
And Steamboat was there, right?
Yep, Ricky Steamboat, Harley Race, who actually, it's kind of sad. He didn't look as healthy as he did back at the Glory by Honor, Glory by Honor 6 Night 2 show.
Okay.
During the Joe Higuchi Lifetime Achievement Award segment. Harley Race is still Harley Race. He's a great man. He had a great history with Flair, and it's just incredible to see him there. Also, Greg Valentine, Dean Malenko, and then some more modern wrestlers, Batista, Chris Jericho, John Cena, Ric Flair's family then came out. By the way, David Flair has really let himself go.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah. And then to cap it all off, the entire roster of WWE, referees, road agents, everyone just came out, stood on the stage and clapped for him. Everyone had tears in their eyes. It was just such an incredible moment. It's almost indescribable. If you saw it, you know how emotional it was, and you know you were witnessing history right there. This is probably the most important Monday Night Raw ever, and I was very happy to be able to watch it. And even, just talking about it now, I'm still starting to feel a little emotional about it. But, I just got to say thanks to Ric Flair. I know he's an ardent listener of our podcast, so I'm sure he'll appreciate, when I speak for Steve and myself, when I say Ric Flair is indeed the greatest wrestler who ever stepped foot into the ring. He cut the best promos. He had the most impact on modern wrestlers. You're going to have your Hulk Hogan's. You're going to have your Macho Man's. You're going to have your Steve Austin's, your Rock's. But there's never going to be another Ric Flair, ever, period. And last night was history, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think enough could be said about Ric Flair. I personally haven't seen the Raw from last night, but I may seek that out now to see it. Because I was reading the live updates on PW Torch and the Flair thing sounds amazing. The farewell,
it is. It's really like it's again. My brother and one of our friends were watching it, and it's just an incredible moment. All three of us were in tears, crying. And when I mean, obviously we were trying to hold it back at WrestleMania. We couldn't last night. All of us were, just kind of sniffling and letting out little sobs. It was an incredible, incredible moment. If you haven't seen it yet, do yourself a favor and seek it out. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll thank me for it. Well, obviously you won't thank me. You'll thank Ric Flair. But, thank me for pointing it out.
Okay. Well, I think we're running a little bit long. And I had originally told JWSO that I was going to call him around 12. And it's 12:48 a.m. So I think...
Yeah.
That's all right. Maybe we should... I'm going to try and call him. I'm not sure how this is going to work. But I don't know if it's going to put you on hold or something or join you or it's going to be a conference call. So I'm just going to call him right now.
Okay.
And,
all right. I'll stand by.
Okay. Number does not exist.
Awesome.
Let me check my email again. Oh, do I need,
sure.
Do I need to put a one in front of it? Yeah, I had emailed him actually right after the WrestleMania shows. I emailed a bunch of people on the ROH forums, and he was one of the few that had responded, or one of the only. One of the one that had responded. Here we go. Get for me. There we go.
Hello?
Hey, is this JWSO from the ROH forums?
Yeah, JSWO.
JSWO. Sorry, this is Steven and Ryan, the other host of our podcast, is on hold. We're recording right now. I have to figure out how to join these. I think I got it.
All right.
Okay, Ryan, you there?
Can you hear me? I still am, yes.
And JSWO?
I am here.
Okay, great.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, not a whole lot. Good talking to you again.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, sorry it's a little later than I had first thought. We had some problems getting connected and everything, and we've been talking we just talked generally about getting to know us because we're going to be the regular host of this podcast, and we talked about WrestleMania a little. Even though this is an ROH podcast, it's WrestleMania, so.
Yeah.
And, he watched the show live, which I had watched pre-recorded since, but so he gave us an overview of that, and we figured we'd call you to talk about the Ring of Honor shows over the weekend before it got too late.
Well, let me tell you guys, you know, the Ring of Honor shows this weekend were very special. I've had the privilege of attending between 50 and 60 Ring of Honor shows over the course of the last few years, and you know, looking at some of the stuff that went down this weekend, I mean, the body of work for ROH this weekend is totally unbelievable and off the charts. You know, for me personally, I don't go to shows anymore to see matches or specific wrestlers because I've been to so many shows. I go to see my friends, but you know, this weekend, you know you're going to get a good show. I mean, you got the Dragon Gate guys coming in, the Briscoes, Nigel starting his heel run, which was really, really good this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to see where that goes. I mean, you pretty much had anything you want as a wrestling fan this weekend.
Yeah. Well, everyone loved his heel pure title run, so I think this is going to pan out. I think people don't give him, on the boards at least, don't give him as much credit as he deserves as a heel. Like, they love to praise his pure title run as a heel, but I don't think people have high enough expectations for him as a title holder, as the world champion.
Well, I think anytime somebody wins that belt, they're going to instantly be compared to two people. They're going to be compared to Joe. They're going to be compared to Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, those two names are so hard to live up to. I mean, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I've seen Nigel grow from a really skinny, tall kid with goofy-looking hair in 2000, working indie shows in Northeast Ohio, where I live, to being the ROH World Champion. So it's pretty neat to see him go from very little beginnings to where he is now and, you know, running on all cylinders.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Ryan, what do you think about Nigel right now?
You know, I've always been a fan of Nigel. I think coming off of the heels of what I think is one of the most underrated title runs in Morishima, you know, for I don't know why, but for some reason I don't see his reign being as well known, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. Personally, it's been my favorite title reign, mostly because I just, you know, gotten into, really started going to Ring of Honor shows. He was a champion that I became a fan with, and it's, I think coming off of the heels of that, Nigel has a lot to live up to. Morishima elevated a lot of the guys on the roster, Eric Stevens, even Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Shingo, he had great matches with everyone, even, you know, fucking BJ Whitmer. So, you know,
nah, don't talk back about my boy BJ. I love BJ Whitmer.
Oh, God.
Hey, I love BJ Whitmer too. He's just boring as hell. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I concur.
BJ's the type of guy that every promotion needs. Yeah. He doesn't need to be your headliner or your main eventer, but he's a role player that does his job and goes home.
Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy you'd like to build a company around. You need those. You can't just have the flashy wrestlers or the guy who will put on a decent match maybe every other show, every few shows, every great while. He's the guy who will put on a solid, consistent match. But I agree, he's boring.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
I don't know how old you guys are, but I did not get to see a lot of the UWF Watts Mid-South promotions, but he reminds me, as far as his style of Terry Taylor from back then, where he's just a solid guy in the ring, does what he's told. If you need to put him in a role where he's in a headline match for, you know, one show here and there, you can do it and get away with it. But, you know, in all reality, he's not a headliner. He's just a role player.
Yeah.
And he's a utility man.
I think ROH and Gabe showed what they thought of him when they chose him to open up the first ever Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
That is very true. BJ, I can't really take he's boring. I mean, he will have decent matches, but unfortunately, his excellent matches are few and far between. Obviously, Cage of Death, but there were, you know, like 12 other guys in that match. The Steel Cage match with Jimmy Jacobs was an excellent match. But again, this few and far between. He has worked his ass off in the company. He's willing to take insane bumps, and he does it all for the fans. I do respect the guy a lot. I just, for some reason, I can't get into him as a wrestler, and I think that maybe it's just because I don't really find his personality that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty laid back as far as talent in the ring, and I kind of will watch a show, and, you know, personalities, you know, always stand out, but I kind of look at it from a perspective of if I were Gabe or I were Kerry and I were running the company, you know, I would need guys to fill so many different slots on the shows. I mean, you obviously have your main event guys, you have your mid-card guys, your low-card guys, then you have the guys that are very few and far between. You can plug into different spots, you know, as need be. And I think, you know, throughout the course of the last 5-plus years where BJ Whitmer has been in so many different spots in the company, I think, you know, and plus, I'm not sure the full story behind it, but his health, he's had a neck problem for a couple of years, so I don't know how much that played into things. But BJ to me is one of the most underappreciated guys in ROH, and I really believe he'll be back, you know, to do a feud with Sweet and Sour Inc. Which, and the possibilities when he comes back are pretty much endless. Mm-hmm. You could put him in the Age of the Fall. You could put him with Allison Danger coming back.
Do you think she's going to start up her own faction?
You know, I think at this point, and judging by some of the things I saw this weekend, that the Stable Wars are pretty much dying out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to see a Jurassic Park of Stable Wars where, you know, the quote-unquote dinosaurs of the dinosaurs being a stable are going to come back and have their own little run again in an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
As crazy as that sounds, I think you're going to start seeing some condensing of the stables.
Which started this weekend
with Larry Sweeney trying to recruit the No Remorse Corps, which to me is the most successful faction of these faction wars.
Oh, me too. I think they just gel perfectly together. The ring, like,
I agree.
They all totally fit their roles. They all. I think a faction needs to have something cohesive that binds them together, and the No Remorse Corps just have the same cocky attitude, the same sort of moveset in the ring, and they have just enough difference to not seem like they're all just a bunch of clones of each other, while still being great.
I kind of got a kick out of this weekend talking with a couple of other ROH fans about being in Detroit last year for WrestleMania and seeing Rocky Romero introduced into the No Remorse Corps. And thinking to myself back then, Rocky Romero really doesn't scream no remorse, you know. He's not really like, you know, an intense guy. He's got the Azucar thing, which to me is just tremendous. I'm a big, big fan of Rocky Romero and have spent time with him this past weekend. You know, just talking about how things are going, and he's really enjoying himself. and then No Remorse Club. So I personally would be a little upset to see them absorbed into Sweet and Sour Inc., which seems to be the running thing this weekend. Yeah. To further expand on that, you know, Davey Richards received a Larry Sweeney business card, and while Roderick ripped his up and Romero ripped his up, Davey put his inside his tights.
I think that's going to be a
sweet entire match.
I really hope so, because I love Davey Richards as a wrestler and as a personality. I just love how he's the geeky, like, little brother sort of character in the No Remorse Corps. I just think that's awesome, but... I think that'll be a swerve there. I think there'll be a time where it'll be a showdown between Roderick on one side of the ring and Sweeney on the other side of the ring, and they'll put the boots to Sweeney. At least that's what I hope will happen.
I hope that too. It's just, I don't really see, No Remorse doesn't really fit into Sweet and Sour. Obviously, you know, completely polar opposite heels. I think that No Remorse obviously has been the most successful. And, just the quality of matches that they've put on, the way they've been able to get over, the fact that they hold all three guys hold titles in Ring of Honor, which to me just signifies that they are completely dominating right now, and I don't think they get enough credit on that front.
Mm-mm. I agree. You know, I tell you what, you know, people talk about this weekend, Aries and Nigel having a great match, the Dragon Gate six-man, Kevin Steen and El Generico, who were my MVPs for the weekend. They were just off the wall awesome, including the match with Yoshino and Doi, which to me is my favorite match of the entire weekend. But in regards to the No Remorse Corps, the six-man tag from Friday night with the No Remorse Corps taking on the Goshi Ozaki, Shima, and Eric Stevens was absolutely incredible. I thought that was one of the most underappreciated matches of the whole weekend.
I think it'll turn out great on DVD, though. There are those matches that people that don't get enough hype live. I think the six man, which is I've told Ryan this is one of a great match that I think is very underappreciated. Is the six man at an underappreciated show, Fifth Year Festival Dayton. Between Matt Cross, Claudio Castagnoli, Mark Briscoe, Pelle Primo, and Shingo, which I heard nothing about that match, and I saw it on DVD, and I was crazy into it, but that's just me.
Well, living in Ohio, going to Dayton every time for the Dayton shows, Pelle is so over. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Is he from Ohio? Sorry if I'm
no.
stupid.
As no. far as I know, he...
Oh, he's from Nome, Alaska. Is it not?
They announced him as being from Alaska, but the Pelle Primo name is two famous hockey players from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure whether he's from Alaska or he's legitimately just announced that, and that's kind of a rib.
Mm-hmm.
But, Pelle, even... In, I believe it was Breakout, was that the last Dayton show?
Yeah, with Hiro and Nigel.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Pelle came out to attack Hagedorn during the Albright and Whitmer Generico Delirious street fight and got one of the bigger pops of the entire night.
I think that's so weird how some places just adopt wrestlers as their own, like Chicago with Sugarfoot, which I don't see. Sugarfoot. He looks like a Lester to me. I wouldn't want my kids touching him, but whatever, yeah. Okay, well...
obviously Bobby Dempsey, too, and basically every city he steps foot in. I think I was at the Glory by Honor show. I don't know what the hell it is about Bobby Dempsey, whether it's the haircut or the baked potato suit, but he is just... he's over. Even in Boston and Hartford, everyone loves Bobby Dempsey.
Mm-hmm. How can you not, though?
Oh, he's a beautiful person.
He's the battered stepchild of the faction warfare.
people keep saying, oh, Bobby Dempsey should have turned on Sweet and Sour months ago. No, like, that's why ROH is so amazing. If it were the WWE in this age of instant gratification, it would have happened. He would have been inducted into Sweet and Sour on a SmackDown. Next SmackDown, shirt's showing some intention. The next SmackDown, they beat him down, and then on the pay-per-view, he turns on him. But I think it's amazing that, like, because the moment when it finally, when he finally takes him and just, oh, takes down Larry Sweeney, it's going to be a crazy moment.
I hope I'm there for it.
Oh, yeah. And the best city to do that is in New York.
Yeah, definitely. Best city to do anything in ROH is New York. No offense to, any of us. Well, none of us are New York natives. No, well, none of us are.
No. I go to New York shows every now and then, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to pretty much, I think with maybe two exceptions over the last year and a half, I've been to every New York show. So the reaction that Bobby Dempsey gets is incredible. At Final Battle, he wrestled, I want to say, Mitch Franklin in a dark match and got one of the biggest reactions of the entire night. The reaction was so big, in fact, that they sent Tank Toland and I think Sarah Del Rey out after the match. Tank attacked Bobby and beat him around for winning the match and getting a big reaction and a huge pop by the crowd. And Sarah was sent out to, you know, do her thing with Bobby. So it was, you know, a pretty neat perspective to see them improvise and change the entire finish of the match just because Bobby was so over.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they were gonna continue the faction wars, I think there could be a ridiculous one with Allison Danger, Sarah Del Rey. We don't know if she's really left who they are, but she could have been Allison Danger, Sarah Del Rey, Pelly Primo, and Bobby Dempsey, which would be very untraditional to say the least, but could have been gold.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go when you have between 20 and 25 guys in factions. I mean, the interaction, obviously the stable wars have not worked out the way a lot of us expected them to be. I'm a big factions guy. I love the Survivor Series when you had the 4-on-4 tag matches.
Oh, me too.
You know, back in the day, like in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I was really hoping to get a lot of multi-man tag matches and, you know, the possibility of a trios title would have been neat. But,
we talked about that for a good 10 minutes earlier in the show, but I'm disappointed the Trios tournament was canceled. Well, just to catch you up to speed, my name's Steven, and I am 16, and I live in Michigan in the, well, sort of Detroit area, and Ryan?
22 next month, out of Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah, I'm 22 and I live in Canton, Ohio, which is about an hour south of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. The Football Hall of Fame. That's about it though in this town.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. but yeah, I'm just a college kid that's lucky enough to get to go around and watch a lot of great wrestling and, you know,
I've seen
a bunch of people.
I'm maybe going to my first live Ring of Honor show at the Tag Wars 2008, which I am crazy excited about, which I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go there yet because I'm 16, I don't have a car yet, but if I have a car by then, plus my mom doesn't really want me going down to the Detroit Fairgrounds, which isn't the best part of town, but I might find a way to go without parental.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, when the first show I attended was the third anniversary show in Dayton, and my best friend drove with me, and I am terrible with directions, so I bought a GPS in the last couple of months. And so, you know, with the GPS, I've been able to drive all over for shows and you know, drive to the airport and all this other stuff, and you know, it's really fun once you start going to shows and meeting people and hanging out with you know, people. It's gotten to the point with me, like I said before, I don't go to the shows for the matches anymore, and it sounds really ridiculous to even think about, but I go to shows to see my friends, and yeah, then I'm going to get a lot of great wrestling on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bonus for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've blabbered enough, so I was wondering if now you could just go down maybe the cards for the Dragon Gate Challenge 2 and Card of Honor 3 and just give your star reviews if you're into that kind of stuff, or just tell us what you generally thought of each match.
I will gladly do so. The first night, Dragon Gate Challenge 2, Friday night, at the Downtown Rec Center was a very good show. I don't really do anything, but I did really think that ROH brought out their best effort on Friday night. And pretty much everything was certainly a good to great match. The show opened with Nigel McGuinness against Delirious in a non-title match. Delirious was actually pretty funny. I've been kind of bored with him for a while, just because as much as I like Albright and Pierce and Whitmer, you know, Delirious, there's only so much you can do with him. And I think, you know, turning him back into comedy wrestler is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Nigel beat Delirious. It was a very solid match. Delirious was very funny. He referred to McGuinness as Mickey Mouse and did the M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E thing that some people might remember.
That's quite amusing.
It was really funny. And the second match of the night was the Vulture Squad with Jigsaw and Ruckus against Kenny King and Sal Renaro from the YRR, the Young, Rich, and Ready. And I'm a big fan of the YRR as a trio. And the Vulture Squad as well. Jigsaw and Ruckus have worked very well together. They're starting to really blend themselves into being a great tag team. Mm-hmm. Jigsaw had new gear over the weekend, which was very similar to Jack's pants that he wears. So he looked really good in his new gear. Mm-hmm. And they both look like they're genuinely having fun with a really excited crowd.
Mm-hmm. Aside from being a great match, I think that's the most diversity we've ever had in an ROH ring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or wrestling in general.
You can even look in at the third match, which was Austin Aries versus Genki Horiguchi from Dragon Gate in the Ring of Honor versus Dragon Gate Challenge match, the first match of the Challenge Series. You know, Genki Horiguchi a couple years ago when he was here was a really just a fast wrestler who did a lot of neat things. He's developed a heel persona, which is sort of a dark, you know, voodoo-esque type deal. And that got over huge on Friday. It was really smooth. Aries did his thing. He won with the Brainbuster, followed by the Horns of Aries, getting Horiguchi to tap out. And just the idea of a Dragon Gate wrestler coming in with this kind of character, which isn't seen in Ring of Honor, was really good and really helped out the overall fan atmosphere during the match. And then post-match, you had Jacobs and Lacey and Tyler Black all recruiting Aries to join the Age of the Fall, and he didn't really give an answer. After that, Tammy Sitch came to the ring and talked about what she offered Aries. And basically, it just led to Aries saying he has to focus on the title and leaving the ring.
How many times has Tammy used the "there'll be sunny days ahead" for Austin Aries pun, which isn't very funny anymore?
Yeah, she used it a lot this weekend. And, you know, it was funny at first, but it's lost all of its luster. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Tammy Sitch. I thought she was great. She looks great. She looks healthy. She looks happy. But I don't know whether I would put her and Aries as a unit together. I think that just doesn't make much sense. But, you know, I don't know. I'm interested to see where the Aries thing goes since we never got an answer over the weekend. But, you know, following that, you have Jacobs, who's an incredible talker, and he's obviously the main event guy in the Age of the Fall. So, I mean, you can only have so many main event guys in one group. And I think they're going to go in a totally different direction with Aries. I don't see him joining Age of the Fall or joining with Tammy. I think he's just going somewhere totally different.
I agree, and that's what I hope is going to happen, too, as much as I think it's going to happen. I hope so, too.
Well, you know, continuing on, we had Kevin Steen and El Generico tagging together against Masato Yoshino and Naruki Doi. Steve Janarco won the match, and the match itself was one of the best tag team matches I've ever seen in Ring of Honor. It was just balls to the wall, nonstop. You know, Kevin Steen's stuck in his smart-ass comments to Janarco about hitting harder and moonsaults and all this other stuff. And it was just really a very, 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 very good match. And I'm really privileged to say that I got to see it in person.
Oh, I really can't. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those matches you have to immediately watch on the DVD as opposed to watching the full show. At least for me, it was. Continuing on, you had Shingo and BB Hulk take on Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black. Black and Jacobs were really good together in this one, preparing for the match with the Briscoes the following night. Shingo got the pin in the match on Tyler Black, and you know, Shingo and BB Hulk were way over. People chanted "Welcome back" for Shingo.
Actually, BB Hulk, the little dance. Earlier, we did a spotlight about Shingo too. We gave him a little profile about him since he had such a great return this week.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I would love to see over here more, but I don't know why Ring of Honor only does the Dragon Gate thing once a year. I know Dragon Gate has a very long, lengthy schedule, but I'm not sure what the deal is with not coming over here more than once a year.
Well, Shingo was here for a while. He was here for most of 2007. Yeah. Up until Good Times, Great Memories. So,
Which is a great show, by the way.
Yeah, we talked about that for a while because Ryan was there live, so...
I was.
As was I. Yeah, it was a fun show. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. The Briscoes tagged up in the match number 6 against Dragon Kid and Ryo Saito. Dragon Kid against the Briscoes was really fun. He just, you know, both Briscoes tossed Dragon Kid around like a little action figure, you know. It was so cool to see them just launching him halfway across the ring with little to no effort into it. It was a very, very good match. And I don't think it was quite where the Shingo BB Hulk Age of the Fall match was, and certainly not where the Steen Generico Yoshino and Doi match was, but it was still very, very good. If I had to do star ratings, you know, anywhere from 4 stars on up for those 3 tag matches in a row. I mean, I don't know how you separate a 4 1/4 star to 4.5 stars, but it was just maybe the 3 best tag matches that could have occurred during the weekend occurred in a row. I mean, that's unbelievable. And then you followed up with the main event, which was the 6-man tag with Shiozaki, Sima, and Eric Stevens against the No Remorse Corps. You know, those multiple 6-man tag following the 3 tag matches may have seemed like a burnout as far as tag matches go, but I mean, those are 4 unbelievably good matches. And if I had to do the star rating thing, I'd give each at least 4 stars, maybe more.
Okay. That sounds like an amazing show, and I can't wait for it on DVD.
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really a big Kevin Steen and El Generico fan, which is one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to this show. I just think their dynamic as a tag team is so amazing.
I think they work just sensational together. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a smart-ass guy like Kevin Steen, and then you have Generico, who's this huge seller for everything and everything.
Crazy.
You know, they work so well together.
Mm-hmm.
You want to cover night 2 as well?
Yeah, if you got the time.
Yeah, I have a few minutes here. Okay. I have to get at least some sleep for school in a while, but I got a few minutes and we can go over a great night in Orlando, Florida. Pretty much the entire weekend was just top notch, but I tell you what, Supercard of Honor 3 may be one of the top two or three shows in company history. I thought it was overall better than Dragon Gate Challenge 2, because it had a lot more variety on it. And you can watch, even the worst match on the show, which I'll get to in a second, was still very good, and it was better than they had any right to be. You open the show with Go, Shiozaki, and Delirious. Now, I was very critical of this match over the weekend because, as I said before, I'm tired of Delirious and his act, and it needs a little freshen up. But this was really good. Go Shiozaki is very charismatic when he's in the ring with the right opponent. Delirious was very scared of Shiozaki's chops. So they played some comedy into that, and it led to Delirious asking for DQ when he was chopped. It was very well done. Whoever put the match together deserves a ton of credit because the crowd was in the palm of Go's hand the entire match. The second match of the night, which is what I consider to be the worst match on the weekend, and it was still a very entertaining match. You know, it's not a match you're going to get a ton of stars for, but you're going to get a lot of laughs, and you're going to get a lot of fun out of it, and that's the YRR taking on Dingo. That's D-I-N-G-O, and Dingo was his name-o. Alex Sugarfoot Payne and Bushwhacker Luke, who's a very, very nice guy, by the way. The babyface team of Dingo and Alex Payne and Bushwhacker Luke worked pretty well together, you know, obviously not having teamed before. Alex Payne is really, really starting to find his groove in the ring. One of the things I really like doing at live shows is watching the students wrestle and seeing them improve from show to show. And Sugarfoot and Red Titus as well are the two most improved students over the course of the last year. They've really started to learn the business and learn how to work in a ring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this match was a showcase for Kenny King and Chasen Rance and Sal Renaro. And the baby faces bumped for them. Sal Renaro has some unbelievable charisma, and it's just a shame those guys all live in Florida and can't be on all the shows in the Northwest, mm-hmm. because I really think that that group would be over huge and it would get a big push. Mm-hmm. When you move on the card, you have another tag match. You have the ROH tag titles. This was taped for the Take No Prisoners pay-per-view. Which will start airing May 30th, I believe.
Okay.
You're going to have Davey Richards and Rocky Romero defending against Ruckus and Jigsaw. And as I said about Ruckus and Jigsaw blending and molding together into this great tag team, this was a perfect example of that. They have some of the most unique double team moves, that double stomp, jig and tonic, I believe it's called, that they do was used here. For two count, Davey Richards made a save. You know, Rocky Romero did his Azucar thing in this match. Davey was very charismatic. In fact, he had put his hand down the back of his tights and threw ass sweat at some fans that were heckling him the night before and threatened to do it again to those same fans in this match.
Well, that reminds me of one of my favorite comedy spots in ROH. It was Sal Renaro and Jimmy Rave. I believe it was at Final Battle 2006. It was against. Oh man, do you remember this at all?
I have the DVD sitting here somewhere. I think it was
Colt Cabana and Jay Lethal. They were wrestling. And, yeah, it was, because Cabana did the spot where he sneezes on his hand and then goes to shake hands with Jimmy Rave, and Sal Renoir reaches forward and grabs his hand, and then someone from the back of the crowd near the camera just yells, just wipe it off on your skirt, Sal. Because he's wearing little tassels at the time. I just found that very amusing.
That seems to have not been a final battle that I can see. But I vaguely remember that. I think that might have been... it was in New York. I'm almost positive of that. But I can't remember which show that may have been. Yeah, that might have been Best in the World.
Well, I don't think so, because I haven't seen Best in the World, actually, which I should probably go see, because it's
a pretty good show.
Yeah. Ryan, I think Ryan dropped out of the call. Ryan, you still there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Ryan dropped out for a while, but we were talking about a spot where it was Colt Cabana and Jay Lethal versus Jimmy Rave and Sal Rinuaro. And Cabana did a spot where he sneezes on his hand and goes to shake Jimmy Rave's hand, and Sal runs forward and shakes his hand instead. And someone from the back of the crowd, it was a New York show, yells out, "Go, just wipe it off on your skirt, Sal." And it made me giggle. But we were trying to remember what show that was from. But I guess...
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I will have an answer for you on that match in 1 second. Here.
Okay.
I think it was July of 2005.
July of 2005. Manhattan, was it Manhattan Mayhem in May?
It wasn't Manhattan Mayhem, because they did Cabana and...
I'm sorry.
Cabana and Nigel on that show.
Okay. I remember it was an ROH show, because it was the one where Cabana and Lethal got in the huge toilet paper fight, and I remember it was at when they hid rolls of toilet paper up in their shirt and then whipped it at Jimmy Rave. Oh, man. That's going to bug me, but whatever. You want to go on, continue with your show?
Yeah. We'll figure it out maybe next time. Also on this show, also before I forget, the lack of Julius Smokes was not a major negative this weekend. But I think that was pretty much a lock, since he wasn't there, that the Jigsaw and Ruckus tag team would not be winning the belts. But immediately following the tag match, there was a segment with Larry Sweeney calling Roderick Strong a hothead, and continuing saying that the No Remorse Corps are not interested in joining the Sweet and Sour group.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course of all this, Eric Stevens came out and began brawling with Roderick, and they never really had their match, which I was kind of disappointed with. But Stevens and Strong beat the hell, holy hell out of each other for about 20 minutes.
It's all right. You can use body language. We had a discussion about that, and I finally figured it out.
Yeah.
It was at Death Before Dishonor 4, so I lied. It wasn't in New York. But, yeah, it was July 15th, 2006.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying. Was that the CZW show?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was Sal Rinaro's debut in the Embassy.
Okay,
I remember that now. Eric Stevens and Roderick Strong just beat the living daylights out of each other. It was absolutely just some of the sickest stuff I've ever seen. The words cannot describe how much I love their feud together. And I think they make an incredible tag team as well, but that I don't see happening anytime soon after this stuff this weekend.
I don't think in ROH we've brought up, didn't Roderick help train Eric Stevens?
Yeah, Roderick did train Eric Stevens.
I don't think the Lenny Leonard Gabe or Prazak have brought that up at all on commentary or into newswires or anything, which I think would be cool to bring into the storyline, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But then they'd probably have to go back and explain why Eric Stevens joined the Resilience instead of the No Remorse Corps. But,
mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
Continue. Well, that's all right. Moving on, we have the Age of the Fall, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black beating the Briscoes in a very good street fight. Mark Briscoe is a great wrestler, bottom line. And so is Jay. But watching the both of them really scares me because I'm concerned one of them is going to really, really hurt themselves. So it kind of takes away my enjoyment of some of their matches. But, I mean, they're just both phenomenal tag wrestlers.
And, yeah, you can totally tell that they're brothers and they're trying to outdo each other a lot of the time.
Yeah, they just genuinely love what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They always look like they're having fun when they're out there, no matter what the situation is.
And they're like the coolest people to be around after shows. You know, they're not like some. I mean, there's not really anybody in ROH that does this, but they want to be around the fans and some of their friends, and they make equal time for everybody after shows. And I think that's something that I really personally appreciate being able to see over the last few years being around them.
I'm extremely envious of your personal contact with wrestlers, but sorry.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, when you start going to shows and people start knowing your face, it's great. I don't really put much stock into it. I'm very appreciative of the respect that exists between the fans and the wrestlers. You know, this weekend there were a couple of fans that were going around up to wrestlers at the majority of the times the wrestlers are around at the hotel asking for autographs and pictures and things of that nature. And I know for some people they like that kind of stuff, but I prefer just to leave them alone and let them go about their business. There was one fan this weekend who was coming around a corridor outside by the pool while Colt Cabana and Matt Sydal were talking with me and a few other people.
Oh, Cabana and Sydal were there?
Yeah, they came and visited this weekend.
I had read a cryptic post on the boards that it said like three former Ring of Honor wrestlers who are very respected were in attendance who are normally in Orlando. I thought that was a reference to Homicide Daniels and someone else possibly, but I guess not.
Well, Homicide Loki was there too, wasn't he? Yeah, Homicide Loki and Hernandez as well as Johnny Devine were at the Saturday night show. Homicide was at the hotel as well.
Oh, man.
And that's always great to see. He's one of the nicest people you could ever meet and see. And is very appreciative of all the fans
that would have
who
been
miss
amazing.
Him.
I mean, Loki's my favorite
feeling
wrestler
is pretty,
of all time, so. Yeah.
But going back to this fan, I mean, the look on his face, he was jumping up and down, hooting and hollering, because he was so excited to see Colt Cabana, and immediately, you know, while some of the rest of us were just having a normal conversation with him, immediately busted out his Sharpie marker and his, you know, autograph demands for both Cabana and Idol pictures, too. And there's appropriate times for that kind of stuff, but there's other times where it's not so appropriate, and, you know, I could kind of see some of the wrestlers getting really annoyed. There was an incident on the bus coming back from the fan fest with these two that apparently they tried to sit with some of the wrestlers on the bus and were sent to the front of the bus and told to stay there.
That's hilarious. Which
apparently it was rather obnoxious from the fan's perspective and quite hilarious from the wrestler's perspective. I didn't see any of it take place, but did hear from both sides of the fence, and apparently it was justified. So, you know, that it is what it is. Some fans are just going to get overexcited, and as much as I love pro wrestling, you know, there are appropriate times for things, and there are appropriate times for other things. So, but back to what's important in the show. I felt like going off on a tangent there because I was so aggravated seeing some of the wrestlers get mad.
That's all right. Fan activity stuff's always important.
Naturally.
Yeah. Basically, Mark did a big time splash off a balcony in this gymnasium. It was probably a good 15, 20 feet up. He missed the table, and it was Milo Beasley of FIP who does a homeless guy gimmick and is very good at it, by the way, who was put through the table. He Milo Beasley was outside the front door entrance to the venue this weekend asking for money and doing things like that. and ridiculing some of the fans who were going into the arena. It was really hysterical. And moving on, intermission was when Low-Key and company decided to show up. So they didn't really bother anybody during the show, which was, you know, really good. You kicked off.
Sorry.
What was that?
Did Low-Key and them and Homicide and everyone just take seats? Did they sit in the crowd with everyone, or were they just hanging out around the stage area, or what?
They were back in a hallway.
Okay.
So they probably preferred not to be seen.
Yeah.
But by the time I heard they were there and went over to pay a visit to Homicide, I don't really know Low-Key at all. I've had a couple of meetings with him, and I've certainly never met Johnny Devine or Hernandez before. Everyone was very nice. You know, Homicide introduced a couple people to everybody that he was with, so I just went over to pay my respects to Homicide and say hello, since I haven't seen him in a while. But the second half of the show is just absolutely his words can't describe how good it is. I put it up against any show in company history, bottom line. Shingo and B.B. Hulk beat Kevin Steen and El Generico. B.B. Hulk did his dancing without dancers coming to the ring, and it got over huge, huge pop for it. Maybe the biggest pop of the night. I'm not sure. It's a couple days later, and there was a lot of beverages consumed over the weekend, so I don't really remember
Dog
much.
Dog and his beer fest.
Yes, beer. I'm going to put over beer fest here in a minute, because beer fest is just as much of a part of Ring of Honor as the ROH World Title is.
Fortunately, I'm a couple years off from drinking, and even if I were, I'm not the kind of guy who would be a drinker. Maybe that's a little bit of the
that's
what I said when I was your age.
That's the great thing about Beer Fest. Even, you know, underage guys and kids and whatnot are not allowed to come to Beer Fest because of the rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you turn 21 and get a little older, you know, you'll see. But the great thing about Beer Fest is that, you know, once you're 21, it's not about getting drunk or getting hammered or whatever. It's about sampling beers and talking about beer and what's great about all the varieties of beer. And the Dog does a great job with the beer fest. I'm lucky enough to take part in them once in a while. And, you know, we have a lot of fun making fun of a Green Lantern fan. And he's always a beer fest, and he's always a willing participant to be made fun of. So, you know, It's all about post-show fun. And that's, like I said, I don't go to shows for matches anymore. I go to see my friends and go to support a great wrestling company with great people running the show.
And speaking
and
of the fans...
Anytime...
Sorry?
Yes. No, go ahead.
Speaking of the fans, was this not Greg H.'s last hurrah, so to speak, as a regular organizee of show festivities?
I can't speak for Greg, but if this was Greg's last hurrah, he went out in a blaze of glory, because this was a lot of fun. I know Greg has said in the past that he's, you know, not doing as much for certain people anymore, and he's a very busy man, and he's a very successful financial guy. He's a great, great person. If you've never met Greg or been around Greg, you know, go to a show, find Greg, introduce yourself, because Greg is one of the most generous and kind people, and he genuinely loves pro wrestling. And, you know, hey, anytime you can put together something like he put together this weekend, if that's all you got left in the tank, that's more than enough.
Mm-hmm. I know he's only been posting in the fan activities forum for a while now, not in the talk about ROH. So maybe, but I don't know.
Well, you know, Greg has his own board that he runs.
Does he?
And yeah, it's a good board. If you want the address, you know, you have to ask Greg. But he's just a great guy, and you know, I'm convinced then Ring of Honor would either be out of business or not be where it is right now if it wasn't for Greg and his ability to get all the fans together as a group, as a bunch of friends, as a family, pretty much. You know, the way that it has, and the, you know, I just bought in, and as I was entering in the names into my new contacts list, and I'm looking at, you know, how many people I've added over the course of the last couple of years going to shows, where those people are from, England, Ireland, I have a number for somebody, all over the United States, New Jersey, Connecticut, Boston, Pennsylvania, Ohio, California, Colorado. I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, all these people who have one common bond, all kinds of religious backgrounds, racial backgrounds, they all mold into this one giant family supporting Ring of Honor, and that's really special. And a lot of the credit for that goes to Greg.
Definitely. Thanks very much, Greg, for all your help.
Yeah. Thank you. Although I've never had the opportunity to meet or speak to the fellow, I see what a great time everyone has had. I love reading about everyone's great time and hoping that soon I'll be able to attend shows and in style with everyone else. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But here I'll go on with the rest of the show.
Sure.
Shingo and BB Hulk against Finerico, which fantastic tag match. Some people think it was better than the match that Generico and Steen had the night before. It was darn close.
What was the finish to that match? Do you recall?
I don't remember the finish to it. It was just balls to the wall. Everything was so fast. Tons of near falls.
Okay.
Lots of innovative stuff. I mean, it was everything you could want in a match. And then ROH, you know, as if that wasn't enough, you have an ROH world title match between Aries and Nigel McGuinness, which was fantastic, with Nigel retaining in about 20 to 25 minutes, somewhere in that vicinity. It was right on par with the Rising Above match, maybe a little better.
Yeah.
And at the end, you know, you had more stuff from Sonny and Lacey, and Aries ended up leaving with Lacey, which is kind of a shoot work type deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know the point of it, but it was really well done. Then the Briscoes make the save as the Age of the Fall attack Tammy, and you know, fans chanted triple threat for them. And then all that was left was the Draggate six-man, which was very good. I don't know if it was as good as the previous two, because honestly, I haven't watched the previous two in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen the one from Detroit last year on DVD yet. I have the DVD. I just haven't rewatched the match. But it was very good. It was just a ton of wild, high-flying, flipping moves. I have no idea any names for some of these things. I might as well just make them up because there was just so many of them. Some of the stuff I've never even imagined before. Really, the MVP of that match was a Dragon Kid who sold the entire match pretty much. Eventually, you know, it led to Naruki Doi pinning him, similar to what I believe was called SoCal Cutter from B-Boy. It's like a diamond cutter type deal. It was just nonstop action. It was very, very good. One of the cool things about the match is that they actually used some Dragon Gate angles in the match. They start teasing tension on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
With the Muscle Outlaws and the other group, the Typhoon group,
mm-hmm.
With people not wanting to abide by the Code of Honor, which is pretty much non-existent anyways. But they wanted some people to shake hands, and the only the two that walked out without shaking hands were Raya Saito from Typhoon and Genki Horiguchi from the Muscle Outlaws. So you had a whole bunch of angles thrown into the show. You had a ton of great matches. I mean, right now it's too soon to determine if it's one of the best shows of all time in ROH, But initial impressions for me were that this was one of the better ROH shows ever.
Well, I'm really looking forward to DVD, and I think a lot of us are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's just a shame. I'm really kicking myself just reading all these reports. Yeah. I had the opportunity to go down there. Unfortunately, the money couldn't come together. I could have gone to every single one of these shows, and it just sounds like Steve and I missed out on an absolute hell of a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Did you end up going to Mania too?
I did go to WrestleMania, and I'm not a big WWE style guy anymore.
Yeah,
but you know, just to be a wrestling fan, you have to go to at least one WrestleMania, in my opinion.
It's WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Over the course of your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you embarrassed to cry in public? Did you cry for Flair?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Flair was the first professional wrestler I saw on television in 1990, and the only reason I went to WrestleMania this year was to see the Ric Flair celebration, and yeah. I cried big time.
Yeah, we talked about that for a while.
I was not embarrassed at all because there was 74,500 people, or whatever the inflated number was, crying at the same time. I mean, last night on Raw, I was very disappointed with the celebration at WrestleMania. Great match with Shawn. Wasn't really what I would have done. I think if I had booked it, I'd had Flair win and then have the celebration on Raw take place at WrestleMania to close the show and then allow Flair to give a retirement speech on Raw Monday. But I think WWE last night may have produced their best segment in the history of the company with that celebration for Ric Flair. I cried last night, too.
One of my friends actually told me that afterwards, after the cameras stopped rolling for Raw, that Vince came down and hugged Flair, too.
Yes, Undertaker as well.
Undertaker.
I've actually seen the videos. They're up on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, okay.
There's four parts to it. Somebody with a cell phone camera took videos, and I cried like a baby last night. And even watching the YouTube stuff today, got a little teary-eyed.
I watched Mania last night having known the results for the past day, and I still was tearing up watching the I'm sorry, I love you bit. Like, that it's just so classy how WWE treated Ric Flair. I'm very proud to be a wrestling fan with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because I was explaining to my girlfriend today about how Ric Flair truly changed pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. He went from wrestling being just about heels and faces to being a guy that played both sides of the fence and was so charismatic. He talked you into seats. Had Ric Flair's last show, so to speak, not been WrestleMania, I would not have gone to WrestleMania. And it's just,
which is understandable, I'm amazed. I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there was some decent stuff on that show. I mean,
the ladder match was
good. But I think it could have been a lot better than it was. But, you know, WWE style is what it is, and it's not going to change.
I think we're all jaded after watching ROH. But continue, sorry. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, you can't look at it in the same way after watching ROH or any independent, Chikara, IWA, Mid-South. Any good independent wrestling company is going to change your way you view the business as far as the style goes. But Ric Flair to me is the greatest professional wrestler of all time, the greatest contributor to professional wrestling of all time, and the greatest talker of all time in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And
to
see the Four Horsemen reunite on Raw, you know, to see J.J. Dillon and Tully Blanchard and Barry Windham, and the only exception that was missing from the Horsemen was Ole Anderson.
Well, I heard there's a good amount of tension between him and Flair. Is there not?
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Nothing really surprises me anymore as far as people not getting along with each other.
I believe I read that on WrestleCraft on the forums about Ole being invited, but not just like he. It's not that he no-showed. He just told them he wasn't going to come because he feels that Ric Flair ripped him off on something. I'm not sure the exact details behind that story. Maybe someone wants to email us at honornation@gmail.com. I'm going to plug that. Everyone wants to email us if they know more details about that or anything else that we've talked about during the show that you want to comment on, and we'll talk about it next week. But thank you so much, JSWO, or however you prefer to be.
You guys can hit me, call me JSWO, you can call me Jeff. I really don't have a preference. Whatever is easiest. This has been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Chatting about pro wrestling with you guys. I'd be glad to do this anytime you need me. Okay. You guys have my number now, so feel free to dial my number and you know, if you need me to rant, I can rant. If you need me to talk wrestling, show recap, I'll gladly do it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate your time.
Yep.
Anytime, guys. Good luck with this.
We'll let you go to sleep now. You have any last words to say? You have anything to plug? Any websites?
I have nothing to plug. All I want to say is that kudos to Ring of Honor, Carrie, Gabe, ROH Help, a.k.a. Ross, and Sid for putting on a great show this weekend. Everybody go out to your local FYE and buy or your Best Buy and get the new ROH in-store DVDs, Bloodstained Honor, and the Stars of Honor. And keep supporting ROH because those guys need your support. And, you know, they give their support right back to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
All right.
All right. Thanks again, Jeff.
See you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, I think that went well.
Absolutely.
I'm very grateful for Jeff Schwartz, JSWO.
Exactly.
Okay, so I guess you got some ROH little tidbits for us, and then we got a little bit of a toss-up game that'll be real short, and then I'll let you go to sleep.
All right, thanks. Yeah, this is going a lot longer than I expected. I guess we're full of more hot air than I anticipated. Nevertheless... I do have a couple quick notes about ROH from the Newswire today. As Jeff had mentioned, two new DVDs out today. The first national retail releases for Ring of Honor. The first of which is Bloodstained Honor, which, as the name suggests, focuses on, you know, the more violent side that Ring of Honor has shown through in the years. A few matches include CM Punk versus Jimmy Rave and the now infamous Dog Collar match. Cole Cabana versus Jimmy Jacobs in the Windy City Death Match from the 5th Year Festival last year. I was actually there live for the match. It was one of the most insane, intense brawls I've ever witnessed. Pick up the 5th Year Festival Chicago show. Very underrated show. It kind of got lost in the whole shuffle with the two Liverpool shows afterwards. I digress. The show also features the Briscoes versus Steen and Generico and the Boston Street Fight from Death Before Dishonor back in August. I unfortunately was not able to attend that show, but from all I've seen the match, of course, on DVD. It's a fantastic match, incredibly brutal, highly recommended. And, you know, just from top to bottom, the Bloodstained Honor DVD. If you're a hardcore wrestling fan, pick this one up. We also have Stars of Honor, which is, I guess it's like ROH's rib at the other companies for showing these stars before they're famous.
Mm-hmm.
Matches include Homicide versus MVP, back then obviously going by his given name, Antonio Banks.
Which is not actually his given name, as I thought, but...
really?
As reliable as the source as Wikipedia is. But hold on, I'll tell you what his given name is claimed to be. You can continue with your tidbit.
Well, you know, Wikipedia, I guess that's kind of give or take anyway. I mean, they've said that George Bush poops out dolphins before, so I can't really take too much of what they say seriously.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, while you're looking that up, I'll run down a couple more matches. Bryan Danielson versus Brian Kendrick, oddly enough. Spanky, obviously known to us, ROH faithful. And a couple Matt Hardy matches on there. Most of you probably remember when Matt Hardy did his little stint in Ring of Honor back in 2005. His matches with Homicide and Roderick Strong are both on this DVD, both of which were excellent matches. I personally like the Roderick Strong one just a tad more.
Oh, me as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Matt Hardy also wrestled Christopher Daniels during his ROH, you know, brief little stint.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the three, again, Roderick Strong, he had the best match with. So, you know, Stars of Honor, again, as Jeff mentioned, in your local FYE or Best Buy, if they don't have it, give them a call and harass them. I'm sure somewhere along the way, all that complaining will catch up to them and they'll put their DVDs on their shelves.
Okay. Apparently, MVP's real name is Elvin Burke Jr. And he... Elvin Burke Jr.
Elvin Burke Jr.
Yeah. Well, he is a convicted felon, so I bet we could do some research looking that up, but it's unnecessary.
Oh, speaking of which, speaking of convicted felons, I looked on, I was just breezing through the industry news section on WWE.com today in preparation for the show. I wasn't going to mention anything about it, but since you brought it up, Hardbody Harrison, I'm sure someone must remember him from the old WCW days, never very popular, but he was there, was sentenced to life in prison recently, as in this past week. Let's see if I can bring up the article real quick. For sex trafficking and forced labor, which basically, you know, anyone who doesn't know, forcing people into sex slavery. He was sentenced to life in prison. As far as I know, he's the only professional wrestler ever to get a life sentence, and that's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It is. You know, that's, I don't want to get too political here, obviously, but sex slavery is a very, very, very touchy issue, especially since it's not as prevalent in this country. So the fact that someone who was in WCW, no less, actually, you know, was convicted of this, was 24 counts of the crimes. He's facing a $2,400 fine as well. Actually, he was convicted today. He also had two co-conspirators, Amy Allen and Cedric Jack, both of which were sentenced to 2 years and 10 months in prison. Nevertheless, again, I don't want to get too political, but he got what he deserved.
Mm-hmm. I believe so as well.
Yeah.
Okay, what you got for the ROH news?
Well, just one last tidbit. It was also announced today that the Briscoes will be challenging for the tag titles against Davey Richards and Rocky Romero at the Edison, New Jersey show on April 12th. So those of you going to the Edison show, you are in for a treat there. Briscoes are going to become looking to become the 5-time tag team champions.
Yeah.
I'll reserve any Booker T jokes.
I can
totally
see. I can totally see one of the Briscoes busting that out in the promo. So...
Oh, God, that's... oh, that will make my night.
Okay, sorry.
That's all I got for news now. You want to just dive right into the final questions of the night?
Yeah, we will... First, let me go over the cards of the upcoming shows just real quickly. No discussion here, but the aforementioned Boston, Massachusetts show, which you are attending, right?
I am. Second row.
Friday... April 11th, 2008, features a ROH World Title Elimination match between Nigel McGuinness, who is the title holder as of now, versus Austin Aries versus Eric Stevens versus Roderick Strong, which should be an insane match because I think Roddy and Stevens might take each other out or something. But
absolutely.
Last Man Standing, Necro Butcher versus Kevin Steen, which I don't recall what show that is a rematch of, but I remember the first one was a nice match.
My God, it was absolutely brutal.
So I didn't know if I just said this, but it's a Last Man Standing match. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi will be debuting in Ring of Honor for his 4-show stint, which spans... Boston, Edison, Detroit, and Chicago Ridge against Davey Richards, which I think is a worthy opponent for him.
Absolutely.
From what I've seen. A special attraction match, which I don't see why in the cards that Ring of Honor feels the need to give a certain title to every match. They can't just have match.
Well, I guess that's more indicative of the fact that they want to make every match seem special.
Yeah. Which the wrestling makes it special. But there will be a special attraction between the Briscoe brothers versus Jack Evans and Ruckus.
Jack Evans' return match, mind you.
Mm-hmm. From his broken face, which is absolutely sick. I saw on YouTube that there was going around that it was a botched moonsault to the outside of the ring. Apparently he appeared on MySpace, or he posted on his MySpace and corrected this, that it wasn't that. That didn't even hurt him. And he posted the video. It was a spinning roundhouse kick from Human Tornado square in his face, and he continued the match, but that's what broke his face, which is one of the most manly sounding injuries I've ever heard, is a broken face.
Yes, that is, it sounds actually...
Oh, you're cutting in and out. Oh, man. Well, that's lame. But while Ryan tries to get his microphone situated... Ryan, you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. For some reason, the call was dropped.
That's all right. I've just been continuing. I finished out the Boston show's card and then moved on to Edison. Off with a ROH World title match between Nigel, if he's still the champion after that brutal elimination match the night before, versus Kevin Steen.
Mm-hmm.
In the ROH World Tag Team title match, which is a rematch of... I believe Supercard of Honor 3, which was filmed for the pay-per-view of the Briscoes versus Davey Richards and Rocky Romero of the No Remorse Corps. It'll be, quote, a dream match, which is pretty much a dream. Kota Ibushi versus Austin Aries, which, aside from being an awesome match, will also probably further the Austin Aries storyline more. Another special challenge match between Roderick Strong and Necro Butcher, which... should be brutal. Split open some chests there.
Hopefully.
And a six-man elimination match, which sounds fun, between Claudio Castagnoli, Eric Stevens, and Pelle Primo versus Larry Sweeney, suiting up again, Brent Albright and Chris Hero, with Bobby Dempsey and Shane Hagedorn. The rules for that are all members must be either pinned, be forced to submit, or... KO'd, which I remember in the news where they used the term passed out, which I questioned, but I believe that there will be a reason behind that. I think someone's going to pass out in a submission or something, but that'll be a nice match. Also signed for that show will be Delirious, El Generico, because he is partner Kevin Steen, so it will be wrestling Nigel, so they won't. He'll have a match as well. Vulture Squad of Jack Evans and Jigsaw with Julius Smokes. Eddie Edwards plus more. More is always exciting.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's a show that I hope to go to. This is a little more in the future. We'll probably hear about this. This is April 18th, Detroit, Michigan. Tag Wars 2008 looks unbelievable. The first announced match is The Age of the Fall of Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black. Versus the returning to ROH, Motor City Machine Guns, or Murder City Machine Guns, if you're uncensored, version of Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, which looks to be incredible. I don't know if you saw in PWG, their anniversary show of Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin versus the Age of the Fall.
Did not, unfortunately.
That wasn't the show, but I saw that as well. That was amazing. And also the Motor City Machine Guns, and I want to say the Dynasty of Scott Lawson and Joey Ryan was a good match, and then the Age of the Fall also wrestled them another night. I'm all wacky with my PWG, but that should be good. And special challenge match number two, Nigel and a partner to be announced versus El Stenerico. Kevin Steen and El Generico will be cool. I'm really surprised because I don't know who main event heel is who could team with Nigel McGuinness. Because the main event heels there's Roderick, who has history with Nigel, right. And Chris Hero, who would never team with Nigel.
No.
After their... feud, even if Nigel's a heel. I mean, in the WWE it would happen, but Gabe loves his continuity, which is great, so I don't know. That's a shocker.
I bet we're going to start seeing a bunch of threads about Eddie Kingston pretty soon.
Oh, God, yeah. As if it hasn't already happened.
I know.
And the second dream match is another to be announced. To be announced, and Kota Ibushi in his third match in Ring of Honor versus the Briscoes, which should be insane. And for these four shows, it's very disappointing that Dragon Gate is going to be their tour is going to be going on, so we're going to be missing Danielson.
Yep.
Who else is going to be out? I don't know.
Actually, I think Danielson. I believe Danielson is the only guy out in Noah right now.
Okay, well, Danielson's going to be gone, and we won't have Shiozaki here.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, no Marufuji or Kenta as special guests anywhere.
And unfortunately.
Here's a show that's going to be... The first match on this card is a rematch of what's thought of many is to be one of the Match of the Year candidates last year.
Including myself.
Yeah, I believe so, too. Chicago Ridge, Illinois, April 19th, 2008. The one-year-in-the-making rematch of the Briscoes versus Alex Schilling, Chris Sabin, Murder, Motor, City, Machine Guns. I don't even need to hype that. Anyone who saw the match know how good it was. And finally, the only other announced match for this show is Kota Ibushi in his final ROH match versus El Generico, who I think is very deserving of a farewell match against a Japanese star, because
he's
definitely earned whatever he gets in Ring of Honor. So,
oh, definitely.
Okay. Well, that's it. Check out ROHWrestling.com for more info. And now we have just 10 quick questions, which we're not... Here's the limit. We got these questions, but we're not allowed to give explanations for answers, okay? And these are all either-or questions sort of thing. Because
we
could be talking for hours about any one of these. But
We've already talked long enough. If you're still listening at this point, we thank you very much. You're an absolute saint.
It's rounding on 2.5 hours, which is...
Jesus Christ.
I listen to the Smart Wrestling Fan podcast, which is longer than this a lot of the time, so...
Oh, well, yeah, my mom's not even going to listen to this, so... 2.5 hours, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, who will be ROH champion first? Kevin Steen, Eric Stevens, or Tyler Black? Or none?
Kevin... Or who?
None. No one.
Or none?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no one.
No one?
No, well, I'm actually banking on Claudio.
Really?
Yeah.
This isn't next after Nigel. I mean, this is who's gonna have it.
Oh,
first.
Like just in general.
Yeah, out of those.
Oh,
three.
Out of those three, I'm gonna say Kevin Steen then.
Okay, I'm torn between Kevin Steen and Eric Stevens because Eric Stevens is a homegrown star, and Gabe working for ECW loves homegrown stars. So
yes.
But Kevin Steen's an incredible talent, as is Tyler Black. Speaking of Tyler Black, there was an amazing interview I heard with him by someone posted a link on either the ROH boards or the WrestleCrat boards. Capture Suplex Radio, I believe, is a radio show out of Toledo, Ohio. But I think you can just either Google Capture Suplex Radio or they have a MySpace. But they had a sweet interview with Tyler Black and he seems like a pretty cool guy. And, I don't know. But number two, should Kevin Steen and El Generico break up or remain a tag team for the foreseeable future?
I say remain a tag team, actually.
I agree with you because, I don't know, most people think that for a tag team to be successful, they need to win a title and then break up and feud with each other.
Well, that's usually how it goes. Unfortunately, I think they're going to be staying. I don't know how they would work as opponents, so hopefully they stay partners.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Number three, better tag title reign, Briscoes 2007 or Aries Strong?
Briscoes 2007.
I agree once again.
All right.
Number four, Crazy Jimmy Jacobs as he is now, Emo Jimmy Jacobs or Huss?
Oh, lordy. Emo Jimmy Jacobs. I'm going to have to take that one.
Oh, man. I'm going to start going first now so I don't sound like a big copycat.
All right. You can take the first on, you know.
Okay. Because I also agree with Emo Jimmy Jacobs. But best non-Joe or Danielson world title reign?
Morishima, hands down.
Okay, I'm going to say Punk.
Punk? That's definitely the most emotional one.
Yeah, because the unpredictability. And I mean, Morishima must have put on, may have put on better quality matches out of the ones, but wrestling's not just about matches, and it's not just about sweet moves, because we're not just a bunch of dumb smarks and throwing out insider terms, but, yeah, it's also about emotion, so that's one of the reasons I think so. But Morishima's out
there. I agree.
He's very he's gonna be very underrated. But who played a bigger role in Ring of Honor, Jimmy Rave or BJ Whitmer?
Well, I'll let you answer this one first.
Oh, wow, I'm gonna go with BJ Whitmer, because even though the Embassy was a great faction, I think that they could have replaced him with someone else. But BJ Whitmer and his feud with Jacobs and the CZW War, I think, did more.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with BJ Whitmer too. The CZW War, that's gonna be his claim to fame for the rest of his career. And truth be told, it was a great feud, and it was what put ROH on the map as the premier indie promotion in the country.
Mm-hmm. I think that just elevated them as not an indie promotion anymore, but on a level all of their own, in between an indie promotion and a worldwide promotion like the WWE or TNA.
I agree.
Okay, number 7, what was the better show, Final Battle 06 or Final Battle 07?
This is actually kind of tough for me because I have not seen Final Battle 07 yet.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
I know. I'm slacking, I don't have the money.
That's all right.
I know.
But, oh, darn those teenagers and their expendable income, huh?
Yeah, I know, I keep on, you know, paying student loans and all that fancy crap.
Yep. I'm going to be in debt soon enough, but I'm going to say Final Battle 06.
Final Battle 06. Mm-hmm. It's a show I loved, you know?
Yeah, me too.
From top to bottom, not a bad match on the card. You get to see Bobby Dempsey dressed up as Santa Claus. That I mean, what's hilarious. Not to love?
And Briscoe's just coming in there and tearing apart.
Oh, God, yeah.
Santa Claus and against Kings of Wrestling.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay, numbers 8 through 10 are all sort of the same question, but with a different variable in there. It's,
all right.
If you could take one wrestler out of X Faction, who would you, and who would you replace him with? Number 8's the Vulture Squad.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah. God. You know what? I think the Vulture Squad, as far as chemistry and how well they're... personalities gel together. Mm-hmm. I actually think the Vulture Squad's, aside from No More Score, obviously, is the most well-rounded faction out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say leave that as it is.
Okay. Yeah. As of now, I'd agree because I've seen how well they've developed together. But if it were the initial forming of the factions, I would have not had Jigsaw in there, and I would have had Eddie Kingston, as much as ridiculous
there are about
Eddie Kingston. He's awesome. There's a reason that people get so much. People get so hyped about people. People, especially sensible people, like all the great men and... are there women? Maybe there's a woman on the ROH boards. But,
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, I think they're sensible people, so I think that there's a good reason for the hype.
Yeah, I agree. It's just overkill.
Mm-hmm. Well, it works. They've started to bring him in. It worked with Tornado.
It is true. And now Tornado is one of the... well, I know he's like the biggest heel in PWG right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time someone mentions the name Human Tornado... or Eddie Kingston, every single person on the forum, with the exception of the few more level-headed people, they just go absolutely apeshit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I haven't watched enough CZW, I just haven't been able to get into him as much as everyone else.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a fresh wrestler, because he's just a different sort of wrestler than we've seen, as is Human Tornado. Human Tornado is a badass, but...
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And even my first exposure with him was actually on WSX when he wrestled Colt Cabana under the Matt Classic gimmick, which I don't know if you've seen the match. It's only like 8 minutes long. You can probably find it on YouTube or Daily Motion. Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. And, just go watch it. What the hell are you still listening to this for? Go watch that match.
Okay. I'll seek that out. I didn't watch a single Wrestling Society X, I pretty much boycotted that. I mean, MTV isn't MTV anymore, but whatever.
Well, all right, I should probably preface this by saying Dr. Keith was one of the creative directors on that show. So maybe I'm biased towards it because he's my friend, but...
I never gave it a chance. I should have given it a chance then, maybe.
No, oh, God, it was completely insane and, you know, fireballs and Vampiro and everything. Yeah. But it had potential.
Mm-hmm. Number nine, the No Remorse Corps.
No Remorse Corps, another faction that I think is completely perfect. I, honest to God, I would not change a single thing about that.
Me too.
Like Jeff was saying earlier, I think Rocky Romero may have been like a choice at the beginning, but I think it really rounds it out well.
Uh-huh. If it were at the beginning, I would have rather had Eric Stevens in there instead of Rocky Romero, but I think it's amazing as it is, the way they've gelled together. And number 10... Number 10 is going to be kind of hard because it's always changing, but number 10 is Sweet and Sour Inc., but I think we should set some guidelines as to who we count as there. But I guess right now we'll go with Hero, Bobby Dempsey. I don't know. Cyril Del Rey is up in arms, so Tank Toland, BJ. Let's just say wrestlers. So Hero, BJ Whitmer, Adam Pearce. And I'm gonna go with, I'll throw Matt Sydal in there too, since he was in there for a while.
That's right. Okay. You know, oddly enough, I think a lot of this is actually a thread on the forums not too long ago about bringing Rhett Titus up onto the main roster. I think Rhett Titus is an absolutely underrated talent. I know his
Retsky the Jetski.
Absolutely Retsky the Jetski. That man is my hero. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. Much more beautiful than Shane Hagedorn.
He is a man amongst mere boys.
Absolutely, and it's odd that he's a year younger than me, but nevertheless, he has a lot of potential, and I think he's just kind of... the best comparison is he is like CM Punk on ECW right now. He's really over in the undercard, despite the Johnny Nitro chance, and I think bringing him up to the main roster, putting him with Sweet and Sour Ink, maybe getting one of the... Hangman 3 guys out of there. Because, you know, that to me just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Having, you know, Pierce and, what's his name?
Sweeney.
Ren Albright in there.
Oh, well,
yeah, Sweeney. Yeah.
I think it's stupid because Sweeney and Pierce are both crazy mouthpieces, which...
Absolutely.
I'm just going to lay this out there and I'm not going to rant about it. I don't see what the big deal is about Larry Sweeney. I mean...
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to get destroyed for that. Maybe I just haven't seen enough of him.
Well, this is a good time to point out that the views expressed by Steve do not necessarily reflect those expressed by Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen much of Sweeney in Chikara. And,
okay.
And so I don't know if that makes him funnier, but I just don't. Maybe I need to look into it more in depth because... I'm the kind of guy who will give something a chance because I figure if everyone else thinks it's great, then there must be something good about it.
Of course.
Okay. Well, that was number 10. So.
All right.
I think we're about ready to round up.
All right. This has been a really interesting. What, pushing 3 hours now?
Yeah. It's let's see, 2 hours and 37 minutes.
2 hours and 37 minutes. For those of you keeping track at home, that is as long as There Will Be Blood.
Oh, I was unaware of that. I haven't seen that yet, actually.
Oh, it's time for a cheap plug. Go rent that movie.
I did see No Country for Old Men, which is also a great movie.
Absolutely.
Speaking of cheap plugs, you can go to honornation.blogspot.com or email us at honornation@gmail.com. The Blogspot will have our show notes, which will also be included with each podcast download through iTunes. Search for Honor Nation on iTunes. Well, if you're listening to this, you've already done so. But also
exactly.
Email us with any questions that you may have, any comments. We'll most definitely read them on the show because we'll be so giddy that someone listened to us. And if anyone else attends shows and would like to tell us in advance that they're attending a show so they can call in, like a good friend now, Jeff, did, we thank you. And we would appreciate it if you would send us an email.
Much appreciated. We, because you know we're very limited. Steve doesn't even have a car, and it's kind of hard for me to go outside of the Boston and Hartford area. I know he'll probably be listening to this, but Kevin White will. I know he goes to all the shows in Manhattan. Hopefully, I'm not. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but maybe someone can just call in with us, or also. Ryan Mulligan, the SmackDown recapper for the Wrestling Observer, also goes to those shows. You know, maybe we can have both of them call in. We'll have our nice little four-way. I mean, despite the, I don't know if you guys have been able to tell, there's a big lag in the audio on the way that we record this, so we might be cutting each other off every 5 seconds. But nevertheless, I think maybe a little more roundtable discussion would be great. And hell, even if you want to be on the show, just let us know. We'd be more than happy to have you on.
We do not discriminate. All Ring of Honor fans are welcome.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Even Green Lantern fan, you're welcome here too.
Very much so. Well, you got anything else to say, Ryan?
Oh, woo! That's about it.
I agree. I'll go with that.
Right, woo! As long as we're on the same
myself.
Page. Yeah.
Probably just woke someone up. But
I don't know, my brother's in the next room.
Yeah, as is mine, but. In a slightly different situation, because we are not. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening, everyone who listened to this whole thing, all four of you. But
yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we do a lot better than four, and I'll be able to track our downloads, so we'll actually see what listenership is, and I'll announce it next show.
Absolutely. This has gone very, very well, and Steve, I'd like to thank you for getting the ball rolling on this.
Yes, thank you for thank you for volunteering as well. I've tried starting podcasts in the past, but I just never found the right mix of people who were actually motivated to start it or serious about it. So very good.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm always looking to get my ego out there. So.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's all right. Well, this was Steve.
And this is Ryan.
Thanks for listening to Honor Nation.
Absolutely. Have a great night, guys.